And welcome to Wise Guys. These guys know sports. Sitting alongside my co-host, Clarence Dixon. What's up, Clarence?
What's up, man?
What's going on with you, man? Today is, Wednesday, November the 20th?
Yeah.
Man, getting close to Thanksgiving. Remember, follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_H. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. We got an action jam-packed show, Clarence.
Yeah, incredible show tonight, man.
So many things we're going to get into. We're going to talk about Lamar Jackson versus Deshaun Watson. We're going to talk about LeBron James as he has had a triple-double against every NBA team.
Year 17.
We're going to talk about Tua's injury and what kind of impact will it have for the Alabama Roll Tide. Also going to give y'all our Week 12 predictions later on in the show. Break down a couple games. Cowboys, Patriots, Packers, 49ers, Colts, and Texas, man. Big-time show today.
Yeah, we're going to have fun today, man.
For sure, man. Let's start off in the NFL as Myles Garrett had his suspension heard in front of the NFL today. And the NFL suspended Myles Garrett for his role in the Steelers-Browns brawl last week in the Thursday night matchup. Myles Garrett was suspended for the rest of the season. Mason Rudolph, I believe, got fined. Marquise Pouncey, he ended up getting 3 games.
Yeah.
Ogilvy, the linebacker for the Browns, he got 1 game. So we didn't get a chance to talk about this because it happened the day after our show, Clarence.
Yeah.
But you know, everyone was talking about the brawl between the Steelers and the Browns.
Yeah, he swung that helmet, man.
Yeah. So, question for you: what did you make of the entire situation? And do you feel like the NFL got it right with these suspensions?
Well, I definitely don't think they got the suspensions right. I mean, Myles Garrett, he deserved to be suspended for the year because his actions led to something that, you know, Rudolph can press charges on.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just seen that, and I'm like, wow, these actions is all crazy. But I don't agree with, like, how Mason Rudolph only get a fine while everybody else gets suspended. You know, he started this fight, and he didn't really get punished like how everybody else got punished. Yeah, he got punished in money, but not game. You know, Marquise Pouncey and Myles Garrett and Larry Ogunjobi, if I pronounce this right, they suspended without pay.
Yeah.
And Mason Rudolph still playing, but he's getting fined. I don't like the decision that the NFL made. I'm against it, man, because I feel like if one apple falls from the tree, they all go fall. And I just felt like he needed to get suspended just as much as Pouncey or even Larry Ogunjobi.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they got it wrong because I felt like Myles Garrett had to be suspended for the year. You got to send the right message if you're the NFL.
Yeah.
You can't take a player's helmet off and swing it at him. Like, that is a weapon.
Ridiculous.
Like if he would have hit Mason Rudolph in the head in a certain spot, he could have killed Rudolph. Like,
yeah.
You got a helmet, that's a weapon. Like, I understand the NFL and why they suspended Myles Garrett. He deserved it. He had to be suspended. I believe he should be suspended for 6 games. If the Browns happen to somehow make the playoffs, which I think is very unlikely, but if they happen to somehow make the playoffs, I actually believe Myles Garrett should be allowed to come back because I believe Myles Garrett retaliated against Mason Rudolph. Mason Rudolph doesn't get to play victim in this situation, Clarence. Mason Rudolph was the instigator because Mason Rudolph tried to take off Myles Garrett's helmet.
Yeah.
That's what the problem was, but he wasn't successful. Myles Garrett was successful at taking off Mason Rudolph's helmet. But that doesn't mean that you don't get blamed for your tip. Like, Myles Garrett was wrong because how he responded. Again, it's like you get into a fight. You punch somebody, and then that person punches back, and the person the person that got hit first kills the person. You can't do it. You can't shoot them, but you got to go to jail because of your retaliation. But the person who started it should also get blamed in this situation. And Mason Rudolph deserves some of this blame. He don't get to play victim for me. I think Mason Rudolph deserved to be suspended at least 3 games. At least. Because he was the instigator in this whole situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that, Trey. You know, he kicked them in the private part. They act like they didn't see that happen.
Yeah.
But it obviously happened. You know, I felt like he should have got suspended just like how Pouncey or Larry, I keep messing up his name. Larry, I call him OG.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him this OG.
Yeah.
Because his name is so difficult to even pronounce. Larry OG, he should have been suspended just like him. Yeah, 1 game wouldn't kill him. And plus, they playing the Bengals. And this coming Sunday, they should have suspended him, you know, for my Bengals. But that can be to a different subject, man.
Yeah. I also believe that Marquise Pouncey didn't deserve to be suspended at all. Because I felt like Marquise Pouncey was just defending his quarterback.
Right.
He was just defending his quarterback. Marquise Pouncey wasn't even actually the person that was involved. This was Mason Rudolph and Myles Garrett. All basically Marquise Pouncey did was defend his quarterback at all costs. I don't think Marquise Pouncey deserved to be suspended in any kind of way. I believe Mason Rudolph deserved 3 games. I believe Mason Garrett deserved the 6 games. When people kept saying he should be arrested for criminal charges.
Oh, that was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. I completely disagree. Because I felt like all he did was what Mason Rudolph tried to do. Mason Rudolph tried to take off Myles Garrett's helmet. Who knows what he had done? Everybody keep trying to say, well, he intended to try to hurt him when he took off and swing his helmet. I think Myles Garrett was just basically swinging a helmet like, oh, we playing that game? That's what we doing? We getting helmets? Right. We taking helmets off?
Swinging helmets.
It makes no sense. But also, it didn't make no sense either for me because Mason Rudolph, in this situation, all the Steelers had to do was take a knee. The game was over.
8 seconds in the game.
It was 8 seconds left in the game. Wow. The game was meaningless. And that's another reason why Mason Rudolph deserves some blame here. Because Mason Rudolph was mad because he got picked off 4 times in this game. He had one of the worst performances we've seen from a young quarterback. And he was upset. He was in his feelings because the Browns front seven was all over him all night long.
Yeah, I agree with you right there. That was just a sucker. That was just a sucker move, what the NFL's doing. It's only fanning Mason Rudolph $35,000. I ain't gonna hurt that man's pocket, man.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It don't make no sense. I just feel like they probably look at him, oh, he started it, but he didn't do too much. Yeah, Garrett did too much, and he's punished. But, you know, Mason Rudolph should be punished. He does this all the time against team. He always picked on defensive players, and he always get away with it, man.
He does. I believe Mason Rudolph should be spending 3 games at least. And I'll be happy. I'm good with Garrett getting 6 games. If the Browns somehow make the playoffs, which they won't, I believe he should be able to come back for the playoffs. But other than that, 6 games is enough. But again, the thing is, now we live in a day and age where social media and everything is caught on camera.
Yeah.
And I think what happened was in this situation, the optics look bad. The optics look bad because Myles Garrett's taking a helmet and swinging it at Rudolph. And it's bad. You got to get suspended for it. But to say he should have been arrested and walked out of the stadium in handcuffs is ridiculous. To say he should be suspended going into next season, I disagree with that. I think you suspend him for 6 games because he was wrong in this situation. But the optics looked it bad. And I think the NFL sometimes, they suspend players because of public outcry instead of actually suspending players for the actual, you know, crime that they committed or whatever they did wrong. They suspend players a lot for the outcry.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, I agree with you on. I definitely agree with you on there. Sorry for the delay, man.
Yeah, so that's how I feel about the situation. You know, we got a couple weeks. We got a lot of people saying, too, the Steelers are saying, the reports from the Pittsburgh Steelers, they are saying that the reason why the NFL suspended Marquise Pouncey for 3 games is because the Steelers and Browns play each other coming up in 2 weeks.
Right.
So they saying that's why they suspended him. They wanted to keep him out of that game. What you think about that?
That was just a petty suspension, man. I agree with you there. You know, Pouncey, he should not have no right. But at the same time, you know, it's a policy in the NFL that you can't mess up or go against. So I think they were just playing the safe side for the NFL was just playing the safe side to suspend him so it won't look even bad on him. Oh yeah. On bad for the Browns because they probably have some stuff to say. And plus, both of the organizations got fined a quarter mil. So they both got what they both deserve, you know.
Yeah. Let's move on. Let's talk about Deshaun Watson versus Lamar Jackson as the Baltimore Ravens beat the Houston Texans 41-7. Deshaun Watson went 18-29, threw for 169 yards, 1 interception. Lamar Jackson had an MVP performance. He went 17-24, threw for 222 passing yards, 4 touchdowns. Gus Edwards had 8 carries for 112 rushing yards. So my question for you, Clarence, is, was this good Ravens or bad Texans?
Let me just, before I answer that question, I just want to say this. Deshaun Watson is definitely out this MVP race until he redeemed himself. I'm going to just say that right then and there. But I'm going to just say that it's bad Texans on them. One, they have a terrible O-line. Two, the running game is not fearful how the Ravens' running game is. And three, they only have one legit receiver Deshaun Watson can actually throw it to. And you know what? It was a bad call that that DeAndre Hopkins didn't get that pass interference. You know, it was a bad call. But you got to keep playing. And the thing is, Deshaun Watson, he got sacked 6 times. The O-line gave up on him before he gave up on the team, man.
Yeah.
And Lamar just outplayed him. And he did a fantastic job getting everyone involved. And they just executed.
Yeah. I believe this was actually good Ravens, though. Because 3 out of the last 4 weeks, the Ravens have played playoff-caliber teams. The Seattle Seahawks, the New England Patriots, and the Houston Texans. And they won all 3 of these games going away. They played great football. And let's just say this right now. Let's put it on record. The AFC North is a done deal. It's over. The Baltimore Ravens are going to win the AFC North. And it's a good chance the Baltimore Ravens are going to host a playoff game in the second round. Because they're going to get home field advantage. I think it's a foregone conclusion now that the Baltimore Ravens and New England Patriots will be the 1 and 2 seeds in the AFC playoffs. And Baltimore will have the road to the Super Bowl come through them. They have played outstanding in this game, and their secondary has been much improved. That trade for Marcus Peters midway through the season was a great trade for Baltimore. Yeah. Because they got a great secondary. You got Jimmy Smith coming back, Marlon Humphreys, Marcus Peters, who played great in this matchup. And you still got my man Earl Thomas at safety leading the way. The Ravens playing some great football right now. They're only a half game back of New England for the number one seed in the AFC, but they own a tiebreaker over New England. So if New England fall or they slip, Baltimore going to be right there for that number one seed in the AFC.
Well, who do you actually think the third best team is in the AFC behind the Patriots and the Ravens? You think the Ravens going to drop to a third seed and be a wild card team? Absolutely, absolutely not.
No, I said the Ravens are the top 2 seed with New England. New England and Baltimore are the top 2 teams in the AFC.
In my opinion, the AFC is weak.
It is weak.
It's weak. It's people dealing with injuries. Players not building. Their chemistry is way off. And you got these newcomers, Lamar Jackson, is destroying the league. And he beat 4 playoff teams. And I'm going to say the Houston-Texas game was the worst. Deshaun Watson should feel disgraced because he had poor performance and he didn't execute how we expected him to. I honestly thought it was a shootout, man. I thought it was going to be a big shootout because I was so pumped for it.
Yeah.
I'm so pumped for it. Like, man, this is about to be like a 50-point game by the Giants around. Wrong. It was embarrassing, man.
Yeah, but I don't think Deshaun Watson has anything to be ashamed of. He had 1 bad game. On the season, he still has 18 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, thrown close to over 2,600 passing yards. Deshaun Watson still is a legitimate MVP candidate, Mr. Nixon. Like, you're wrong about that. Nah. Like, he still is in that conversation. I think Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson are the 2 favorites right now. But I think Deshaun Watson, along with Aaron Rodgers and Christian McCaffrey, are still on that second-tier MVP conversation.
If it was a third place, I'd give it to Christian McCaffrey before Deshaun Watson.
Nah.
Yes.
Nah.
He got 11 catches.
He balling.
He balling,
but you know they're going to give it to a quarterback.
Yeah, of course. It's a quarterback-driven league.
And it's a quarterback-driven award. So because it's a quarterback-driven award, they rarely give it to a running back. It's rare.
They need to make a running back award, basically.
Yeah. But let me ask you this. After this performance, would you still consider the Texans amongst the elite in the AFC?
You know, this loss was, like, precious bad, in my opinion. And this game, this really matters. Like, can the Texans win out? Because they got a big one coming against the Colts.
Yeah.
For right now, I don't think they one of the, like, amongst the elites because they still have pieces that they need to get fixed. The O-line is terrible.
Yeah.
First of all, Laremy Tunsil was a bad pickup because he hasn't like progressed. They still giving up sacks a game. What, 4.5 sacks a game? Deshaun Watson is probably his third with 30 sacks on the season. That's bad, man.
Yeah, defensively, I was surprised in this game because the Houston Texans are one of the best teams in the NFL at being able to stop the run. But in this game, the Ravens punched them in the mouth.
Oh, yeah.
The Ravens literally punched that Texans front 7 in the mouth. They had no answer for that Baltimore Ravens rushing attack. The Baltimore Ravens had 263 rushing yards in this game. Yeah. So they literally controlled tempo. They controlled the pace of the game. And the Texans had absolutely no answer for that Baltimore Ravens rushing attack. And it begs the question to ask, do the Texans miss J.J. Watt? You got to ask that because they got beat up front in this game. And I know J.J. Watt would have made a difference. But here's the thing.
I'll make a difference of what?
J.J. Watt's one of the top defensive players.
He's one of the top defensive players in the NFL, but he won't go make nothing change. This is Lamar Jackson we talking about.
Yeah, Lamar's balling. Lamar's balling. But I'm just saying, I think you got to ask that question when you get beat the way they got beat up front. You got to be like, well, I wonder if J.J. Watt would have made a difference. But overall in this game, what we saw is and found out, the Texans already know their playoff destination. We already know what's about to happen. And what's going to happen is they'll get a wild card team, they'll host a home playoff game, and then in the second round, they'll go and play either in Baltimore or in New England. And that will determine their season. That's about to happen. That's what's going on because they're not going to get a first round bye. They're not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And so now what's going to happen is we'll find out if they'll have an opportunity and if they can beat either Baltimore or New England at Baltimore or New England. That's what's about to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely be tuned in for that because that game right there is going to basically prove, is y'all going to the playoffs or not?
What game?
The Patriots and this Texans game. Oh, that's coming up.
Coming up, yeah. But I still think they make the playoffs because I think Houston will win the AFC South. I believe they'll win the AFC South still.
Well, you know, Thursday, it's going to come between them two teams. Like, you know, but I agree with you on there. The Texans still has a chance, but it's very short.
But you got to think about it. Right now, in the AFC, more than likely the Texans are going to play in a wild card game. They'll play maybe the Colts. The Raiders. These are some of the teams. The Bills. I believe that the Texans will beat those teams.
No, not Buffalo. Texans will beat Buffalo. I like Buffalo.
Stop it. You think they're gonna beat Deshaun Watson in Houston?
I take my chance on that.
You think Josh Allen gonna roll up in Houston and beat Deshaun Watson?
Josh Allen is basically the white version of Lamar Jackson.
Oh, stop it. You need to be drug tested.
You know
it. I don't even think about mentioning Josh Allen in the same breath as Lamar Jackson.
But what is he talking about? He's second in rushing touchdowns behind this man.
You need to stop.
No, I'm telling you, man. Stop. This Buffalo team has improved.
Buffalo ain't beat Houston. They ain't going to beat Houston in the playoffs.
I'll take it. I'll take the risk on that.
That's not going to happen. We can talk more about it if it happens. I'm just making a point. Houston going to host a home wild card game. They'll host the game, and we'll see what happens. Like I said, I think they still win the AFC South because I think the Colts, they playing well. We're going to talk about that game later on because they have to play the Colts on Thursday night. We'll see what happens. The Colts got to win on Sunday against Jacksonville, but it don't mean much because that was a bad week. But that's another thing I want to say, too, because you know in this four-game winning streak that the Ravens have had over the last month, one of those games came against your Bengals. That was a bad week. Like, so that game really don't count. I can only give them so much credit for the three games.
We gave them a win.
It doesn't count.
Andy and AJ ain't playing, man.
Right. It don't count.
Andy has a winning record against the Ravens, man.
Let's talk about the Ravens. Let me ask you about that. Do you think the Ravens are the best team in the NFL?
No.
You don't?
I don't think just yet.
Not yet.
Because there's a GOAT still playing, and he's still playing at elite level, even though he's 43 years
old. Elite?
Look. He probably not playing at league level has like passing yards, but leadership and what? I still think Brady and them, they still the best team.
Wait a minute. So you saying Tom Brady's playing at an elite level?
He's not.
And hold on, because let me give you some of these numbers. And passing yards per attempt, he's 25th ranked in the NFL. And his passer rating, he's 21st ranked in the NFL. His completion percentage, he's 19th amongst NFL ranks. And his passing touchdowns, he's tied for 16th. That's elite to you? Man, Tom Brady ain't playing at an elite level? Because we're going to talk about him here shortly.
He always start off slow. That's one thing about the Patriots. They start off slow and they catch right back up.
Tom Brady's name doesn't deserve to be in the conversation amongst elite quarterbacks in him. Anyway.
Tom Brady always going to be in the conversation.
No way. We're going to talk about him in a minute. But real quick before I move to the next topic, I believe right now you can put the Ravens in that conversation as being the best team in the NFL currently. Right now, they only allow 20 points per game, and that's ranked 6th in the NFL. So defensively, they really, really playing great football. And they're the only team in the NFL to not allow opposing team touchdown on the opening drive. So they're basically setting the tone defensively in the beginning of these games. That's how their offense is getting into a rhythm in the flow, and they're dominating at the end of the games with Lamar Jackson in that running game. But overall, Lamar Jackson is doing this without any significant receiver. Like, who on the Ravens at the receiver position is an elite receiver? Name me somebody. Can you help me out here? Like, he's doing this with running backs and tight ends. He don't have an elite receiver throw the ball to. He don't got a Tyreek Hill like Patrick Mahomes has. He don't have a DeAndre Hopkins like a Deshaun Watson has. You know what I mean? He don't have those kind of receivers.
Well, Lamar is basically proven to other players, like, you don't need an elite receiver to be elite. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's doing it with serviceable players. A rookie receiver. And I'm big on Hollywood Brown. I think he's going to be a superstar in the making. But the only way, he's got to get better.
Yeah, he got to get better.
He definitely has to get better.
But I just think now we can really start. I think Lamar's starting to separate himself in this MVP conversation. I think Deshaun is still in the conversation. But I think Lamar has separated himself. It's just him and Russell now. It's just him and Russell going nip and tuck. Russell had a bye week in week 11. So we'll see what happens in week 12, because I think the Seahawks play Philly. We'll see what happens. But I think Lamar has separated himself. And again, it's very impressive that he's doing this without a true elite number one receiver.
Yeah.
Because Pat Mahomes got Tariq Hill. Deshaun Watson got DeAndre Hopkins. Lamar Jackson has
Mark Andrews.
Andrews.
And he's playing great this year.
He's playing great.
You gotta give him credit. Mark Ingram is playing great this year. You gotta give him credit. 8 rushing touchdowns. That's leading the team, man.
Yeah. But let's move on. And let's talk about something that everybody's been talking about over the last 4 or 5 days. And that's Colin Kaepernick. On the Wise Guys page, I believe it was Monday, we had a question. Will Colin Kaepernick play again in the NFL? And we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week because the announcement came out after our show, I believe. But everybody's talking about Colin Kaepernick and his workout with the NFL. Colin Kaepernick obviously canceled the workout with the NFL, had his own separate workout about 50 miles from the location where the NFL had theirs. It was a lot going on with this situation with the NFL and Colin Kaepernick. And so basically the question for you here is, Clarence, what do you make of this entire situation with Colin Kaepernick in the NFL, because it's a battle going on right now? What you think about it?
You know what I'm saying? In my opinion, in my honest opinion, Colin Kaepernick doesn't want to play football. He wants to break the NFL. He wants to show people what the NFL is really is. And I don't have no problem with that, because you know, right is right and wrong is wrong. But you know, he's basically beating them at their own game. He changed the sites in Atlanta. He wanted to play on his platform. He didn't want to sign a waiver. Did you see that waiver that they wanted him to sign?
It
was bull crap, bro. Bull crap. I just felt like that right there, the NFL didn't want to sign him from the jump, because he was still going to be kneeling, and he's still not going to do the national anthem. He's not going to do none of that.
Yeah.
I think all he wants to bring out the bad things about these NFL owners. And, you know, some people actually agree with him on that, too, because some of these owners hasn't been right to their own players.
Yeah. I believe the NFL created this Colin Kaepernick workout for a PR stunt.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it was. It was a PR stunt. And they knew good and damn well that Colin Kaepernick wasn't going to get signed.
Yeah.
Like, and the fact that they said they weren't going to allow media into the workout to watch Colin Kaepernick throw the ball down the field, go through his progressions and all that. This shows you they did that because the NFL wanted to paint their own narrative and say, oh, Colin Kaepernick can't throw the ball down the field anymore. And Colin beat the NFL at their own game. And he said, you know what? I'm going to have my own separate workout so I can show people that I can still play in the NFL and I can still throw the ball down the field effectively. NFL, this was a PR stunt. Because the NFL, what they wanted to do was they wanted to paint this picture like he had a chance. And they wanted to basically put it out there and make it seem like, hey, we did everything we could to give Colin a chance. We gave everything we could to give him a chance to get signed by an NFL team. And they basically wanted to do that because they wanted to see what the public outcry would be. I feel like I ain't feeling it. I think Colin beat them at their own game. But I also feel like on the flip side, that Colin really doesn't care about playing in the NFL again. And the reason why I say that is he doesn't care about playing in the NFL again because he didn't capitulate to their rules. When you work for a company or when you asking for a job, in certain aspects, you do have to capitulate and go along with what they're saying if you want that opportunity. So he obviously doesn't care about playing in the NFL again because he is saying, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it on my terms. And I respect Colin for that.
I'll definitely give him 100% respect, like.
Yeah, I respect him for that because he wanted to go about it in his own terms, do it his own way. And he basically want to expose the NFL for what they really are. And the NFL ain't fooling me. I said it from the get-go. They're not fooling me. They had too many stipulations. It was too much going on. And I felt like they only did this workout and they want to do it on a Saturday, knowing good and damn well teams are getting ready for the team they're about to play on Sunday. They're doing prep. At the end, teams that are the home teams, they're at home doing, watching film, getting ready for the team that's flying in. So they knew it was only going to be certain scouts at this workout, and they did everything they could to try to play their cards like they really was trying to be confident of chance, and that never was the case.
Yeah, that was definitely like a PR stunt, but I honestly don't know. Do he even want to come back to the NFL? I would love for him to come back because he's still a talented quarterback. But you know, I respect for what he's doing, and I respect like for his decisions. So I just stand with that. Like, hey, if you think that's what's best for you, then you just do it. Then Now you have my support. Honestly,
yeah, I agree with that. And then, like I said, when you talk about all the quarterbacks in the NFL, there ain't no way in hell you're going to be able to tell me that Colin Kaepernick is not on the roster or doesn't deserve a spot to be on the NFL roster as either a backup or a starter. I believe Colin Kaepernick can still be a starter in this league.
He's better than, like, most of these quarterbacks in the league. He's better
than most of them. Your biggest are using. Seriously.
We don't need Kaepernick, but we can settle with Finley. I'm going to just clear
imagine,
that out.
Right now, imagine Colin Kaepernick with the Bears. So imagine him with the Bears, because when he was playing with the San Francisco 49ers, those San Francisco 49ers team was built on a defense.
Yeah.
But Colin Kaepernick offensively was doing a great job as a dual threat quarterback, making plays with his feet, making plays, throwing ball down the field to Crabtree and Vernon Davis. Colin Kaepernick actually was a win quarterback when he was playing for the 49ers.
I agree with you right there, man.
And I believe he would do great with the Bears right now. He'd do better than Trubisky, because Trubisky is terrible. He's terrible.
See, I was more like thinking of the Carolina Panthers, because they already have a legit running back, a future receiver, and a solid defense that can still get fixed up.
Yeah.
But that's just my
opinion. Let me ask you a question about the Carolina Panthers, by the way.
Right.
When it comes to Eric Reed. You know, Eric Reed, him and Colin Kaepernick are friends.
Yeah.
And you know, Eric Reed has been very outspoken in his support for Colin Kaepernick through this entire situation. What do you think about Eric Reed and his position when it comes to Colin getting back in the NFL? Because you know, Eric Reed, he done called out Stephen A. He said Stephen A. a coon. Stephen A. Is a sellout. He called out Jay-Z saying he's a sellout. What do you think about Eric Reed in his position as far as the situation goes?
I think he's just a big supporter for Kaepernick because he see how the NFL was doing him, and he's standing by him and support him. Like, it's a lot of people that support Cap that's still in the league. Like, you know, Kenny Stills, he called Jay-Z a sellout too, because he just felt like, why are you just doing it for the money? But
see, I disagree with that. I thought when Jay-Z, and he basically had that relationship, we created that relationship with the NFL, I thought it was in support of Cap, to give Kaepernick a chance.
I just realized, like Jay-Z doesn't want to bring politics to the NFL. I just think he don't want them type of problem, because, you know, they'd be bigger than what it is right now.
Yeah.
So I just think he's just trying to smooth everything out, you know. People saying, Kaepernick messed up what Jay-Z had. He ain't do nothing. He did it on his own terms, man.
But I believe Jay-Z was the reason why Colin Kaepernick even had an opportunity to work out for the NFL on Saturday. I think Jay-Z was behind the scenes on this. I really do. So I disagree with Eric Reed when he tried to call Jay-Z a sellout, when I believe Jay-Z's intentions was to be able to work with the NFL so the NFL can understand how we feel about social injustices. And it's also funny to me, too. I want to say something else. It's funny how Colin Kaepernick, when he initially started kneeling, he kneeled for police brutality and the social injustices that we're dealing with in our country.
Yeah.
And it's funny how now the same thing that he initially kneeled for is what's happening to him now not getting back in the NFL.
Right.
There's no way that Colin Kaepernick shouldn't be playing football. But we know what it is. The NFL and the owners are basically colluding against Kaepernick. And exactly what he kneeled for is exactly the reason why he's not playing now. And it's funny how things work out. It's like, man, I kneeled for police brutality and social injustices, and now he's going through it now with the NFL and being blackballed.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's just ridiculous how this all panning out. And, I looked into that waiver myself. Like,
yeah.
Like, they basically saying, like, if you want to sue us, you won't have the chance to sue us.
Right.
And knowing Kaepernick probably would have sued them because they probably were trying to, you know, jip him out of his money or make him do something that he don't want to do. Very petty on the NFL owners that they even set this up for this stunt thing, and it was just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Waste of time, man.
It was a waste of time. It was. But, like I said, there's obviously no trust amongst the two sides. Colin Kaepernick don't trust the NFL, and the NFL don't trust Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. So at this point, to be honest, I don't think Colin Kaepernick will play again in the NFL. What you think?
Now, I honestly think he's not going to ever play in the NFL.
I think it's over.
I think he just wants the attention towards him.
And that's not a problem either, though. That's not a problem.
It is a problem.
Well, you want the attention
towards... Because if you want the attention towards him, that means people are going to question what you were standing up for to begin with. Why were you kneeling to begin with, Colin? Like, so you can't say that. You can't say, oh, people want all the attention. I don't think this is about that. I think he just basically trying to expose the NFL for what they are. But if he wants the attention on him, that's a problem because people are going to question, you really wasn't trying to bring attention to social injustice for real. You just want the spotlight to be on you. So you can't say that.
So you'd be considered a sellout, basically.
Nah, I wouldn't even say a sellout. It's just your position. You lost leverage. And you basically, if you're saying it's all about you, if you want this all about you, Colin, that means you don't really care about social injustice for real. Like, that's how some people feel. But we can move on.
What's up, everybody? Just tuning in to the podcast, man. Make sure y'all hit this like button, and you share the podcast.
Yolanda Fraser said, really? I wonder what she's talking about.
What you talking about, Yolanda?
Yeah, saying, really? Yeah, what's she saying? Got a couple comments on here. It's a great day. Remember, follow Wise Guys on Twitter at WiseGuys_OH. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys. And be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys. Let's get back into some football.
Woo.
Let's talk about the New England Patriots and the Philadelphia Eagles. The Patriots beat the Eagles on Sunday afternoon, 17-10. Tom Brady went 26-47, threw for 216 yards. New England clinched their 19th straight season where they're going to have a winning season. Carson Wentz went 20-40, threw for 214 yards, one touchdown, two fumbles. So the question here is, what was your biggest takeaway from this game?
Carson Wentz. The Philadelphia Eagles is just a big mess. Injuries is just derailing that team. So you look at players that they don't want to play no more. That energy in that team is gone. Like, remember Orlando Scandrick? He said that the Philadelphia Eagles is still living in that Super Bowl moment.
Yeah.
Well, it's over now. It's over. It's gone. Yeah. They need to move on and start actually paying attention to, like, the teams they have coming up next.
Yeah.
And, you know, Seattle is a tough team coming in. I just think they're not focused enough on the team. Like, they have so much to worry about. And then you start questioning Wentz. Like,
yeah.
This is your team. What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
I just think this Eagles team is really not that good as they was in the past. And I honestly don't have them going to the playoffs because they looking bad. Injuries is derailing this team.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here shortly about their playoff hopes. But when it comes down to this game, once again, the Patriots defense was dominant. Man. And it carried them to victory again. Because offensively, the Patriots are terrible. Let's just call it what it is. And we were just talking about Tom Brady. We now have a 10-game sample size of evidence to say that Tom Brady and Father Time is winning this matchup. Like, Father Time is undefeated. And Tom Brady looks every bit of being 42 years of age. Like I told you, on this season, he's struggling. 14 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, completed just 64% of his passes. And this is close to being Tom Brady's worst season as a pro. Like, yeah. He's struggling. Like, he really is struggling. And in this game, it's gotten so bad for Tom Brady, he's not even leading his team in touchdown passes. Julian Edelman had a touchdown pass in this game. And it probably was the best throw of the afternoon from the Patriots. Like, it's that bad.
Low scoring affair, man. You know how short game's gonna be, man.
Man, Tom Brady ain't looking too good. He ain't looking too good, but he's a Hall of Famer. He, you know, he's the most accomplished quarterback in NFL history. But his time is up. And now the defense is carrying this team. And also, I'm gonna say this too. This team, I can't believe I'm about to say this, they miss Antonio Brown. This team missed AB because they need some type of receiver help. They don't have no legitimate receiver down the field that's making plays for this team. They really miss Antonio Brown. And, like, you know Gronk, he retired.
Yeah.
So with Gronk retiring, they don't have no legitimate tight end they can get a ball to in clutch moments and say, get me a first down. It's just Julian Edelman. Mohamed Sanu hasn't really played well so far. Like, I think this Patriots offense is struggling to the point where it makes you wonder, in a playoffs, can they maintain and sustain some drives to be able to help their defense? Because their defense is outstanding.
It definitely starts with the run game, but the run game hasn't been on point. It hasn't.
Yeah, it hasn't.
It's just been terrible. But, you know, can the Patriots still win the Super Bowl with their struggling offense, though?
I'm not so sure. Because last year, they struggled offensively. And then they got the run game going late. And it was going into playoffs. But they got Isaiah Wynn coming back. He's a tackle for the Patriots.
That's only one lineman, though.
It's only one lineman, but I think he'll help them in the running game, for sure. He'll help them establish a running game, you know, with James White. So I think he'll definitely help them in that aspect. But they put a lot of pressure on that defense to keep getting stops. And that defense got to be legendary for the Patriots to win games.
Or Brady has to be legendary, man. Just to say it, this Brady has to be legendary like he always is in the playoffs, man.
He ain't always legendary in the playoffs. Last year, he was all right.
He was all right.
He should have lost in the AFC Championship game. If it wasn't for D4 going offsides, they would have won that
Chiefs
playoff
defense
game.
Was just terrible. Terrible, man.
That's the point I'm making. You're making my point. That's why Tom Brady ain't that great. He wasn't that great in the playoffs.
Blame that Chiefs organization for that defense that they had the years back, man.
Yeah, but the thing is, they got to get better offensively. So let's talk about the Eagles. Do you think the Eagles have a shot at the playoffs?
Of course not, man. Of course not. Oh, no.
Why not? Why?
No. Look, I'm going to just say this. The Cowboys is about to win the NFC East. They about to conquer the NFC East.
You sure?
I promise you that. Look, this Eagles team is dealing with injuries. They playing with rookie running backs and fourth-year running backs with Miles Sanders and Jordan Sanders. And they even got another player, Boston Scott? That team right there is dealing with so many problems.
You need to stop.
No, I'm not stopping.
The Cowboys ain't winning the NFC. You know why? The Cowboys struggling with Jeff Driscoll. Okay, they struggled with Jeff Driscoll. They barely beat the Detroit Lions on a Sunday afternoon. Clarence,
And when it was on the road.
It don't matter. You went up against Jeff Driscoll. Okay, you should be able to beat Jeff Driscoll
So you're expecting a blowout from the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, you going up against Jeff Driscoll? This ain't Matthew Stafford. You going up against Jeff Driscoll. The Cowboys... this year, when they go up against playoff-caliber teams, they lose. They lost to the Packers. They lost to the Vikings 2 weeks ago. They lost to the Saints earlier in the season. Anytime the Cowboys go up against legitimate competition, they lose.
I'm just telling you, the Cowboys, I think they found their rhythm because they're playing excellent football that you can't decline, man. And the Eagles is playing poorly. Why would you think the Eagles still have hopes playing? And they only have majority of their players back, man.
Listen, I'm going to say this, too, about the Eagles. I'll concede. Because before the season, this wasn't the case, Cowboy fans. But I'm a believer that Carson Wentz is better than Dak Prescott. But this ain't the day to make that argument. Because Carson Wentz is struggling. Right now, Carson Wentz is ranked 27th in completion percentage and 31st in yards per attempt in the NFL.
Terrible.
He's struggling. Bang. But earlier in the season, it wasn't Carson Wentz's fault because they were dropping a lot of his passes.
Yeah.
Early in the season, those receivers were dropping a lot of his passes, and there were questions about Carson Wentz's leadership. A lot of people feel like that this Philadelphia Eagles team, they responded better to Nick Foles when Nick Foles was the quarterback. I think Carson Wentz is still more talented than Dak Prescott, but I will admit that Dak Prescott is playing much better this year. But even with all that said, I still think when the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys face off against each other, I believe it's week 16, I still believe the Philadelphia Eagles will win that game.
You're crazy,
and I still think the Philadelphia Eagles are going to win that NFC East. Because guess what? Cowboys got the Patriots this week. That's a loss. The Eagles got the Seattle Seahawks. I think the Eagles got a better chance of beating the Seahawks than the Cowboys do of beating the Patriots.
Man.
Come on now.
Ridiculous, man.
So don't get tired of
you just basically said, look, Tom Brady is struggling. And he's struggling, right?
Yeah.
And you think that Zeke and O can't get the job done on the road? I'll take that gamble. Because Prescott is playing amazing football, man.
He is playing good.
That you can't decline. And Mario Cooper, he's actually playing for that contract this year that he just said moments ago.
But against the Lions, it was actually Michael Gallup. He was balling out.
He was balling. They all was balling. All three of them was balling, man.
So now are you a Cowboy fan?
I ain't saying I'm a Cowboy fan.
So when they get in the playoffs, when they roll up against Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson or Drew Brees, you going to pick the Cowboys to win?
See, when we get to them games, we'll see.
I know.
Hey, they playing great football. But I know the Eagles is definitely not making the playoffs.
We'll see what happens because I still think the Eagles will win the NFC East. Hold me to it. Facebook, y'all hearing it right now. He got the Cowboys winning NFC East. I got the Eagles winning the NFC East still. Because I know this week the Cowboys don't lose to the Patriots. And I think the Eagles got a chance to beat Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. We'll see. We'll predict our games here shortly. But also, one more thing. Lane Johnson. His injury was a key factor in this game.
Yeah.
Because when he was in there, they were up 10-0. When he went out, they lost that 10-0 lead. And obviously the Patriots scored 17 unanswered points. That's a key factor as well. Let's not forget, Carson Wentz has dealt with a lot of injuries on the offensive side of the ball this year with the Eagles.
Yeah.
They have. They just re-signed Jai back, I believe, on their team.
I think he was on vacation, man.
He's on vacation. I didn't even know he was off their team.
I thought he was going to sign with another team, honestly.
But they just brought him back, you know, earlier in the season. Alshon Jeffrey had some injury issues.
Inconsistent.
They didn't have this, they had DeSean Jackson all season long. And DeSean Jackson was an important factor in that offense. He's a deep threat. He basically opens up the field for other players to get intermediate passes. So I think the Eagles will still get together. I still think they win the NFC East. Claire says no. I say yes. Let's move on.
Ridiculous, man. I can't do this. All right.
Let's talk some NBA.
Ooh.
Let's talk about LeBron James.
Ah.
Your boy. We're going to talk about LeBron James as last night, LeBron James was the first player or became the first player in NBA history to have a triple-double against every NBA team. So, my question for you, Clarence, I don't know how you feel about this because we never talked about it. So, we're going to get it right here live in real time on our show. Where do you think LeBron James ranks amongst NBA greats? Do you think LeBron James should be in the conversation with the GOAT, MJ, or is he the GOAT? What do you think about that?
First of all, LeBron James is not the GOAT just yet. Just yet. He got to win a couple more chips. And I don't think he consider it. But I think he is in that argument as the GOATs, though. Because, listen, the style of play he brings to the table, you would never get that from nobody else like LeBron James. That he can carry a team to the finals. You would never get a player like that, man. LeBron James is a special player.
Yeah.
Someone that you would die to have on your team. Someone that you would just give up. Not even everything. You give up 4 or 5 first round pick. You're not like Paul George did, but that's not the thing. LeBron James is a special player, and you know, he spends actually $1 million on his body to keep his body in shape. And I think some of these other players that's coming up, elite players like Kyrie and them, they need to take some steps in him. You know, spend some extra bread to get back healthy. Because he in year 17 balling.
Yeah.
Balling, man. He's definitely balling.
Is he the GOAT?
He's not the GOAT, but he's definitely in that conversation. I want to put him over MJ.
Is he top three?
Top three. See, man, you're tipping my hat there, man. I would not put him in my top three because it was other greats. I respect the LeBron James. I get a lot of respect to him, but who do you think the top three players in the other greats you think?
Honestly, I would say the top three greatest players of all time for me because I always go off of what I watched and what I've seen.
Right.
Like, I think MJ, I think Kobe, and I think Kareem. Those are my three. Like, because I believe I get tired of LeBron fans pretending as if LeBron is better than Kobe. He's not. Like, stop saying it. Like, LeBron fans, witnesses, he's not better than Kobe Bean Bryant. I wish I would stop saying that.
He's a better passer.
Stop it. We talking about greatest of all time. You talking about passing? That's what you really gonna bring me?
I mean, passing is the game of basketball, right?
But who's the more dominant scorer? Who's the more clutch player? It's Kobe Bryant.
Dominant scorer? I definitely got to get that to LeBron, though.
LeBron ain't no more dominant scorer than Kobe Bryant. You need to stop.
If you had 250 running to you right now, you more likely to go get out the way.
Man, look, Kobe Bryant is a more all-around scorer than LeBron James could ever dream of being. Like, on his best day, LeBron James couldn't shine Kobe Bryant's shoes when it comes to offensive scoring the ball. Ain't no way in hell. Like, LeBron James isn't even a better scorer than Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's a better all-around scorer than LeBron James.
Kevin Durant's a better scorer than Kobe.
Man, I don't argue that.
Yeah.
I don't argue it, but I think they're right in MJ, too.
He's 7 feet.
That's MJ.
You not stopping no 7 feet from scoring like how Kevin Durant does.
I would say MJ, Kobe, and Kevin Durant are the three most dominant scorers I've ever seen. Like, seriously. And no people want to throw hard in there, not yet. But Kevin Durant is unstoppable offensively. He's unstoppable. But I'm going to get back to LeBron real quick. Because I don't believe he's even in a conversation for the greatest player of all time. Like, I think he's a top 5 player of all time. I'll say that. But I think Kobe is still better than LeBron. I think Michael Jordan is still better than LeBron. Like, I always feel like how LeBron is, he had too many disappointments in the finals. Like, what happened with LeBron James in the finals against the Dallas Mavericks and Dirk Nowitzki in 2011, that would never happen with Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan. Like, ever. Like, I think it was one of those games in that finals. When? Tell me a finals when Kobe and MJ was scared to shoot. Like, I was watching that finals and LeBron was timid. He was passive. Like, he didn't take the bull by the horn, per se, in that moment. This your first, hold on real quick, I got you. This your first opportunity to have a chance at winning the NBA title. And you let Dirk Nowitzki and J.J. Barea beat you in a six-game series? Like, Wade was looking for LeBron in the finals. Jason Terry, J.J. Barea was on that team, too.
Yeah.
Give some respect to J.J. Barea. Put some respect on that boy's name. He was playing in that finals. But Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, they was wondering, they was looking for LeBron to take the bull by the horn and be the best player on the floor in the finals. And it didn't happen.
I think
he folded under the pressure. That's what happened.
Yeah, I think he was averaging 17 points, 8 assists, and 8 rebounds. So he had like a solid stat line, but it wasn't enough to win a chip. I'm going to just tell you that.
Yeah, he was playing terrible. I think in one of those games in the finals, I want to say LeBron James didn't even attempt a shot in the fourth quarter. Like, it was that bad. Like, you could look at him in that moment, you could tell that LeBron was literally fearful. Like, he was the moment was too big for him or something. Would never happen with Kobe.
He had to realize that he's the number one player in Miami. He had to realize that.
Right, but here's the thing, though. What LeBron had to develop into, Kobe and Jordan came into the league with that mentality. Kobe and Jordan had to develop into any of that. Kobe and Jordan came into the NBA with that killer mentality, and they showed it on the court. Anytime it's a clutch moment, how many times have we seen Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan make big-time clutch shot after big-time clutch shot? It's been times I've watched LeBron. They want to say, well, this witness his argument. He made the right basketball play. I don't want to hear that.
LeBron is as definitely as clutch. He's not more resourceful, like it's down, but he has definitely earned that clutch.
Okay. So, is LeBron James, would you consider LeBron James a closer?
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
LeBron James is a closer?
Yes, and I have proof for that, man.
So,
I have proof for that. Definitely against that series against the Boston Celtics when he hit them 2 threes back to back. He basically closed it out. He basically closed it. And what else? I can take him further back. 2007, he played against the Orlando Magic. And then
when he lost.
Yeah, but the game won. He closed that game out.
He hit a shot. See, it's a thing. It's
Because I seen Paul George close my favorite New York Knicks team out. That's when Melo was on there. With a mid-range jumper, man.
Listen, see, I think you are misunderstanding the difference between a closer and hitting a big-time game-winning shot. You think Robert Horry closer? Ain't no way here, Robert Horry closer. A closer is a player that gets the ball in the last 2 minutes. I always say closing time is in the last 2 minutes. You say, give me the ball, and the opposing team already know where it's going. LeBron. Like, the opposing teams, when they was playing Jordan and Kobe, they knew the ball was going to Jordan and Kobe. And Kobe and Jordan didn't give a damn. It didn't matter. That's a closer to me. You made a game-winning shot. That was happening.
I'm pretty sure that LeBron had the ball in his hand in the last 2 minutes because his team was not scoring how he wanted them to score, man.
Yeah. Has LeBron had clutch moments? He has. But has he been consistently clutch throughout the course of his 17-year career? No! Kobe and Jordan was clutch from the beginning.
I disagree.
Like, it was clutch from the beginning. Think about it. Michael Jordan in the finals.
I'm not arguing Michael Jordan's stats. I'm not arguing that because I know he can close the game out.
Right. But I'm just saying, Michael Jordan, when you talk about the GOAT conversation, Michael Jordan never let an NBA finals go past 6 games. Michael Jordan cut all the suspense. He cut all the fun out for the NBA fans because he was in the series in 4 or 5 games. Like, he literally was ending the suspense. Like, you had no suspense when Jordan was going up against these teams. Like, poor Karl Malone and John Stockton. If it wasn't for Jordan, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, these bros would have a ring. But guess what? In LeBron's era, Kevin Durant got a ring. Steph Curry got a ring. You know, you not go on. These players got rings. Dirk Nowitzki got a ring. Like, in Jordan's era, they wasn't getting rings. But Kobe, in his era.
Olajuwon got a ring.
He did. But that was the year when Jordan sat out.
Hey.
He sat out that year.
He basically ran the 90s. So you got to just throw something in there. Look, Houston Rockets won back to back. I get it. But you know, Jordan, he's a great closer. He is.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron, he should get some credit in them too, though.
LeBron's top 5 NBA great.
I ain't saying
he just ain't on Kobe and Jordan level for me. That's just how I look at it. Like I said, for me, it was too many times where I watched LeBron and he'll make that pass at the end of a game, and I'm like, LeBron, shoot the basketball.
He's not making that pass no more.
No, he's gotten better, but he still makes the right basketball play. No, like LeBron James is the kind of player to where he'll leave it to a role player to have to go and answer questions in the post-game press conference about why you missed the shot. Kobe and Jordan, they want that. Oh, I missed it. They sit right there and tell you, I missed the shot. It was on me.
Kobe is a skill. I give you this. Kobe is a skilled scorer. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
He got his own academy of skills. You know, Kawhi Leonard go to his academy. You know, Paul George didn't get invited because he wasn't that good enough. And I think that is true. Like, he can't close the game out. But Kobe, he really set the tone for, like, you know, closing games out in our era when we were growing up.
He did. And another thing, too, about LeBron. When he went up against the San Antonio Spurs, he got swept. Like, nobody expected.
They're playing the great Tim Duncan.
Nobody expected LeBron to win the finals. But what I expected was you to at least give me one.
He wasn't getting you one.
Give me one? But that's the thing. Remember with Golden State? The year when LeBron dropped 50 in game one and J.R. Smith had the blunder. They got swept in that finals. Just give me one, LeBron, because guess what? Iverson got the Sixers one against the Lakers and Kobe and Shaq. He got in one. Just give me one. I'm good. Iverson, just give me one.
Iverson is a generational talent. That leads to a different conversation.
I'm just saying. One more thing, too, I want to say this, too, about LeBron. Like, LeBron, he's a great passer. He's a great point guard. Like, honestly, like, he's great. Like, the problem is...
Great facilitator.
He's a great facilitator. He's great. Like I said, in his prime when he played defense. He don't play defense no more. When he played defense, when he was at Miami, he was great at it. Like, at times when he wanted to guard the opposing team's best player, he did it. Now, Melo gave him some buckets a couple years, though, with the Knicks. Like, when Melo's... We'll talk about Melo here in a minute. But Melo was giving LeBron buckets a few of those times when the Knicks went up against Miami. But... Like I said, with LeBron, I just think his overall mentality, you know, as a player, I always question. Like, I'm more of I like an assassin.
You grew up on assassins, right?
I like the player that's going to say, give me the ball, I'm going to take us to the promised land. That's just what I like. And then, how much do the championships matter to you? When you talk about all-time greats in the NBA, how much do championship factor in your, like, ranking when you come to the NBA all-time greats?
You know.
How much do it matter?
Like, out of a big percentage, like 75%.
Okay. Good. Okay. Because for me, it's the same. Like, I think basketball and football are different in this aspect. Like, in football, when we compare greats like Aaron Rodgers, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, those quarterbacks, they don't get a chance to play defense against the opposing team quarterbacks. So when you're having that quarterback comparison and that conversation, you can't compare Aaron and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning only so much because – they didn't get a chance to go up against each other. Basketball different. See, basketball, I get a chance to play defense. So that's why I believe I judge those players and I expect them to win championships. And I kind of judge them different in that conversation. Because you got a chance to play defense. LeBron went up against Kevin Durant in the finals. You got a chance to go up against KD and say, stop Kevin Durant. Like, those finals when Kevin Durant was winning finals MVPs, it was too many times I saw LeBron switching off Kevin Durant and Rodney Hood was guarding Cal Corver, J.R. Smith. I was like, LeBron, what the hell are you doing? You need to take on responsibility and guard KD. KD cooking tonight. You're the only chance the Cavs got. Like, that's the difference for me. Like, you get a chance to be able to play defense. And I always felt like Kobe and Jordan, they took on that challenge night in and night out. I felt like it was times with LeBron. LeBron let Shane Battier with Miami and sometimes play the guard for both teams. That's
probably one of the greatest 3-and-D players of probably not of all, but one of them.
You need your best player to take on that challenge in that moment.
Yeah, definitely.
You need it. Let's move on.
Let's just move on. You know what time it is.
Wiser Lies
segment. So we got the first one, man. You know, the Raptors, they defeated the Hornets in a brutal beating last night. It was bad. Yeah. 132-96 to improve to 9-4 on the season. So is it wise lie to say the Raptors can win the East?
Oh, that's a lie. Because the Raptors aren't better than the Sixers or Celtics. I told you about them Celtics. Celtics playing great basketball. Went on a long winning streak to start the season.
Yeah.
So they had a mishap in that game, but I think it's a lie. I don't think the Raptors have any chance in hell at making the finals. Yeah,
I definitely agree with you right there because Philly, they look like the favorites for the East, but the Boston Celtics, they creeping up in the Eastern Conference, so it's getting very interesting. I told you, man, Toronto might get a top four seed, but they might be first round exits, man.
What do you mean if Boston Celtics creeping up? Boston Celtics are the number one team in the East right now.
That's what I'm saying. They creeped up. Remember, they started off the season slow.
You said creeping up.
Yeah, they creeping up.
Oh, they already there.
Yeah, they there, but...
You know, I was right.
Yeah, they started off slow.
Because I got the Eastern Conference Finals. I got Philly and Boston. That's my Eastern Conference Finals matchup. Or let's not forget yours. I think you got Milwaukee.
And Philly.
And Philly. Yeah. I think Philly and Boston both better than Milwaukee.
I just don't think...
like Boston match up with Philly, man. They don't match up with their bigs, and they're very big down there.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's move on. As the Atlanta Falcons won their second straight game. Over the Carolina Panthers, 29-3. And Kyle Allen threw four interceptions. So is it wise or lies to say the Panthers should reconsider keeping Cam Newton? Is that wise or a lie?
I think it's a lie, man. I don't disagree with that, man. It's time for him to go. His time in Carolina is done. I think he should start a new path on another team. I honestly think he's done in Carolina because Carolina's looking in a new direction with their new quarterback. I like the Will Greer guy. He's on their practice squad. I think he should, like, he could be their future if they give him a chance.
Yeah, I think it's last year, too. I think it's time for the Panthers to move on from Cam. I think Cam time is up for Carolina. At some point, you got to know when to move on.
Right.
Sometimes a player in a specific team need a fresh start. And I think that's the situation with Carolina and Cam right now. Yeah, Bengals, yeah, they need a fresh start because Andy Dalton, that time is up. That ship has sailed. But I also don't believe that Kyle Allen is the answer.
Yeah, he's not.
He's not the answer for the Carolina Panthers. And they need to really evaluate whether or not they want to draft a quarterback in the upcoming draft or they want to make Will Greer the starter for the rest of the season, see what they can get from him. But I don't think Kyle Allen is the answer at quarterback for the Panthers.
Quick question, we go to the next question. So is it safe to just keep playing Kyle Allen for the rest of the season?
Depending on what happens over the next 2 weeks. Because let's say, I think Carolina right now, they're like 5-5.
Yeah. They still in the playoff.
They're in the playoff hunt. But once you fall out of the playoff hunt, I think you need to insert Will Greer in the starting lineup. Yeah. See what you can get from him. See what he has. Because Kyle Allen, he's not playing well right now. He's not playing well. I don't think he's the answer for the Carolina Panthers moving forward.
Yeah, you definitely right on that, man. All right. Oh, we on this. Oh, the Houston Rockets, they defeated the Portland Trail Blazers 132-108. Oh, God. They won eight straight games sitting at 11-3. So is it wise or lie to say the Rockets can win a championship?
That's a lie. And the reason why it's a lie is I don't believe the Houston Rockets are better than the Clippers or the Lakers. And the duo between LeBron James and Anthony Davis is significantly better than the duo of Russell Westbrook and James Harden. The Clippers, they're just a deeper team than the Rockets. So I think the Clippers will beat the Rockets throughout the course of a seven-game series. Are there games where James Harden in the playoffs will drop 40? Yeah, it is. Those games will happen, and maybe the Rockets can pull out a victory. But throughout the course of a seven-game series, I don't think the Rockets can beat the Clippers. So I think it's a lie to say the Rockets are championship contenders because they're not better than the Lakers or the Clippers to me.
Yeah, I definitely say it's a lie because I honestly think I don't really trust Russell Westbrook and James Harden on the same team together. Them guys combined for like 8 straight playoff losses, counting back from when the Portland Trail Blazers beat the OKC in 5 games.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't trust them. They got a nice supporting cast, but I just don't trust James Harden in the playoff. He's not ready yet to, you know, go to that finals, lead a team. It's impossible.
I don't trust Mike D'Antoni in the playoffs.
Yeah. When was the last thing he ever went to a playoffs? I mean, a playoff like the NBA finals.
Yeah, Mike D'Antoni's, I don't believe, ever been in the NBA
finals. Exactly.
Yeah, never. Like, because there is nothing. Like, he don't preach defense. Yeah. All he cared about is scoring the basketball. That's those teams change in the playoffs. But let's move on. As Phillip Rivers had 1 touchdown and 4 bad interceptions in a 24-17 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football. Rivers has 7 interceptions in his last 2 weeks. So is it wise or lies to say it's time for Rivers to retire?
It's definitely wise. I think the Chargers need to go into the next, this upcoming draft and draft a future quarterback because Phillip has nothing in the tank. And you know what? I just want to say this quick. And I know you probably not going to agree on me with this, but I just want to say this. Phillip Rivers is basically like the version of Andy Dalton. And let me tell you why. Because, you know, Phillip is like another Andy Dalton. Andy can't win playoff wins. Phillip can't win a ring. So it's time for him to retire, man.
Yeah, but the difference between Phillip Rivers and Andy Dalton is Phillip Rivers has actually won some playoff games.
I ain't talking about playoff
games. But he's talking about what?
I'm talking about this is comparison. You know, Andy Dalton can't win playoff games. And Phillip Rivers can't win a Super Bowl. He'll never win a Super Bowl.
I think this is your way of being able to try to make your Bengals somehow relevant. It's not going to work. Phillip Rivers is a significantly better quarterback than Andy Dalton could ever dream of being. If y'all had Phillip Rivers as y'all quarterback about 4 or 5 years ago, y'all probably would have won a Super Bowl. Phillip Rivers is
not a Super Bowl, man.
In his prime?
Nah, not a Super Bowl.
With those Bengals teams, like about, I'll say about 4 years ago, when the Bengals was loaded. They had all the talent. Y'all just didn't make plays in the playoffs to win games.
Lack of culture. I'm gonna just say that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but some of them was also Andy, that quarterback. Like Andy was not making throws down the field necessarily.
Andy's not a good quarterback.
Yeah, he's not a bad quarterback. We're talking about Andy, bro. We're talking about him later. Yeah. You want to make your Bengals relevant, talking about the Bengals song.
Always.
I ain't going to allow you to do that. But I think it's wise, too. Because at age 37, Phillip Rivers isn't getting any younger.
He's not.
And he's a stationary target in the pocket. He has no mobility whatsoever. And he can't make moves with his feet on the run. Like, Phillip Rivers is a stationary pocket. And I believe those days of the stationary, stay-in-the-pocket quarterback, those days are over with.
Yeah.
It's over. Like, Phillip Rivers is the last quarterback in Tom Brady, too, of those quarterbacks that's not mobile, that's not, you know, that can still make plays with just their arm. You need a quarterback that can make plays with their feet, and that's not Phillip Rivers. I think it's time for the Chargers to move on. It's time for them to move on and let Phillip Rivers go. And I think it's time for Phillip Rivers to go home and be with his wife. He got 9 kids. He got plenty of fun he can have with the kids when he go home. He has one great family, you know, but he's had a great career.
Just run, fellas. All you have to do is just run.
Real quick, is Phillip Rivers a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he's definitely a Hall of Famer, but he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get Phillip Rivers. Because I think Phillip Rivers is better than Eli Manning.
No.
Yes.
No.
Stop it.
Oh, no.
Wow. So what's the difference? Because Eli got 2 Super Bowls.
No, but listen, Eli performed in them Super Bowls.
He did. But
yeah.
Also, he didn't. The reason why the Giants won those Super Bowls, they won because of Eli. They won those Super Bowls because they front seven. And they, yeah, they won those Super Bowls because of Michael Strahan, Jason Pierre-Paul.
They did their jobs. But
Chris Canty.
When it came down to the last minute, Eli secured that.
Yeah, last minute. Yeah, Eli closed the deal for the Giants. But the Giants were in the Super Bowl because of their front seven. Not because Eli Manning. You know how many years Eli Manning led the NFL in interceptions? Multiple years. Phillip Rivers is better than Eli. By far. By far. Now, you can say Eli is more clutch than Phillip, but Phillip is a better all-around quarterback, period.
He can't run for Jack. They can't run anyway, man.
Yeah, neither one of them can run.
Never.
So let's move on.
Woo-hoo.
Let's talk about Carmelo Anthony. As the Portland Trail Blazers signed Melo to a contract last week, and Melo had his season debut, scoring 10 points, shot 4-14 from the field, 4 rebounds, 5 turnovers. But the question here is, are you surprised that Melo is finally back in the NBA? Are you surprised?
Yeah, I'm happy. I'm actually happy Melo's back in the NBA, but he's on the wrong team because he's back in the NBA, you know? But I'm actually excited for Melo back in the NBA because, you know, he's been out for 2 years. He's a little rusty from last night, but
yeah.
I'm happy for him. You know, that's my favorite guy. That's my guy. That's what I'm excited for him, man.
Are you surprised that he's back in the NBA? Are you surprised? Like, were you shocked when his news came down?
I mean, I'm not surprised at all, honestly, because therefore, like, you have teams that's taking a chance with this guy. They taking a chance with his style of play. And that's what the Portland Trailblazers did. They taking a chance with this man. And they go play with his style of play. Which, yeah. I think he still need to change his roles, you know. But we can see how it goes.
Yeah. I wasn't really surprised because I found it hard to believe that out of all the players that was in the NBA last year, that they were better than Melo. Like, I found, like, you same with Colin Kaepernick in the NFL, I found it hard to believe that all those players on all those teams, those general managers actually believed that they was better than Carmelo Anthony. Like, do y'all not know what Carmelo has accomplished? Like, Carmelo was a 10-time All-Star, NBA scoring champion in 2013, won a NCAA championship with Syracuse, 2-time All-NBA second team player. Melo is a bona fide scoring machine.
That's all you can say for Carmelo Anthony.
That's all you need to say. That's enough for me. Like, I get tired of people always talking. Like, we always talk about Melo's the only player where he is basically criticized for what he does well. Make it make sense. Like, he's a great scorer. Take him for what it is.
He can't score like that on every team, man.
What do you mean he can't score? Last time I checked, the goal of playing basketball is to be able to put the ball in the bucket.
I ain't saying that, but his level of play, it does not fit this like era of basketball today right now, in my opinion, man.
See, I think that's ridiculous. Why? Why do you believe that? So I can come back at you.
Because, let's be honest. He's not a team player. He doesn't play defense. He's a hell of a scorer. Let's just say that. But we on the defensive side.
doesn't move his feet. He don't move. He doesn't move his big fat size 13 feet. He don't slap him. He don't defend the post. He don't even reach out for a steal. So that's what he hurts at on defense. And his team play is not really not that good.
So man, how many players do you really actually believe are playing defense in the NBA?
It's only like honestly like two people that's only playing defense.
Exactly. So how the hell are you gonna bring up defense in an argument when you talking about
Kermit? But guess what?
Who you talking about?
When it's time to play defense, them players play defense.
Like LeBron don't play defense anymore.
He don't play defense anymore, but he will. Like,
Melo won't. Melo, but I don't even think that it's the fact that Melo won't. I don't think Melo, he's never been a defensive player. That's never been Melo. But yeah. Melo can play good team defense. Like, because you don't have to be a lockdown defender.
You don't,
but you can play be a good team defender and rotate. It. Like, I think Melo, his scoring basically can replace the lack of defensive capabilities. I always say that about Melo. If Melo can come on your team and give you 15 a night off the bench, I feel like that's a recipe for success for any team that got Melo on their squad. Like, you have to have a role for Melo. He has to be able to know, hey, I'm coming in, I'm going to be able to score. And with this Portland Trailblazers team, he's going to really, really help the Portland Trailblazers. They got a lot of injuries on their front court. Paul Gasol is injured right now. Zach Collins is also injured. Nurkic hasn't came back from his season-ending injury last year. So they got a lot of injuries on that front line.
Oh, Trey, when you mean help Portland, what are you going to help them with?
Like, this thing, I can start hearing so many people say, oh, Melo ain't going to be able to. Like, don't expect Melo to come in and save Portland. He's 35. What the hell wrong with y'all? Like, they expect Melo to come in and save Portland. I mean, he ain't going to save him, but he can also be a significant boost on off the bench. Or
he's the starter.
He started last night. But, like, for future games to come, the Portland Trailblazers may need some of that scoring. We'll see what happens. This is Dame and CJ's team. So Dame and CJ, they're responsible for being the leaders of this team and carrying this team to their expectations that they're looking to get at. That's not Melo's job. Melo is a role player at this point in his career. Stop having these such high expectations for Melo. It's ridiculous to me. Like I said it yesterday. I think Melo is an actual victim of his own greatness.
You know, he is. It's not he just like getting called out for the stuff. He just need to learn how to do new things and learn a new role.
No, last year was ridiculous.
I will agree with you on that. That was ridiculous.
And then the thing is, in those 10 games, Melo wasn't playing terrible. He wasn't playing terrible in those games.
I think he averaged 16 points last year.
He averaged 13 last 13, year. 13. But this is the thing, too. I was upset because a lot of people were trying to say Melo didn't play well with OKC.
So that's when he averaged 16.
No, he averaged 17. I remember. It was 17.
Oh, it was 16.
Right. But the thing is, people trying to say, well, Melo didn't play well when he was with OKC. So let's make up our mind. Because I always hear these conversations and NBA fans and people who talk about the NBA. Russell Westbrook is hard to play with. It's what people say, right?
Yeah, difficult. Started with KD.
Right. So if Russell Westbrook is hard to play with, wouldn't it be understanding and you'd be able to understand why Melo was off rhythm a lot in that Oklahoma City offense? And he's still averaging 17. You see what I'm saying? I hear all these people say, oh, Russell Westbrook is hard to play with. Well, Devin, if you're hard to play with, that would actually show you why Melo was struggling to find his role in that Oklahoma City offense.
Big difference. When Westbrook was off the floor, Melo was scoring his points.
Exactly. But people trying to say Melo didn't play well when he was with Oklahoma City. And that was just completely wrong. See, the problem is, Melo, like I said a couple minutes ago, he's a victim of his own greatness. We're so used to Melo dropping 25, 30. That now that he only dropping 13 to 20 points a game, oh, Melo trash. Oh, Melo fell off. Of course at 35 years old, you're going to fall off. You ain't the same player that you was 7-8 years ago. Is that the different Nuggets, Melo?
Nah, bro.
LeBron ain't the same player he was when he was in Miami.
Hey, but he's still putting up the same numbers from, like, 2005. Man.
That's where you go wrong. We know LeBron's a better player than Melo. Like, stop it. We know that. But that don't mean Melo trash. Melo is a bona fide Hall of Famer. Look at all these young thoroughbreds coming up. Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, RJ Barrett. They would give everything they have the kind of career that Carmelo Anthony has had. Carmelo is respected amongst his peers. It's these NBA fans who think they know it all, that we don't know a damn about the game, and they don't know what they're talking about. They're trying to criticize Melo like Melo can't still play. Melo can still play.
I think he still can play. I'm not saying that he can't, but the only thing I question is his leadership to the team. Like, how big of a leader you is. And one more thing before we move on. The thing he just need to work on is something that he know he gonna be reliable on. And I said this before. He need to work on his corner shooting. Because
at like you said, at 35, he's not the same Melo. He need to work on something new and get better at it. Because he keep playing the same Melo, it's going to lead this Portland Trailblazers team to a first-round exit, man.
Yeah, but this is the thing. They were probably going to be a first-round exit even without Melo. So why do you expect Melo to come in and make this Portland Trailblazers team all of a sudden an NBA championship contender?
Oh, because he's a future Hall of Famer, right?
Like, no, he's a future Hall of Famer, but he's 35. Let's remember, he's 35. Like, this is the, and like I said, one more thing I want to say, too. Like, when I look at the Western Conference, I'm going to go out when I say this. And I know people are going to disagree. They're going to crucify me for this. The only team that I think is significantly better than the Portland Trail Blazers is the Lakers and the Clippers. Those are the only two teams I think are significantly better. Like, I think if Houston go up against the Portland Trail Blazers in the playoffs, I think that series could easily go seven games. Because right now, most people think Houston are their third best team in the West. That's what most people think. They won, what, eight straight games? James Harden is a legitimate MVP candidate right there with LeBron right now. But if Portland went up against Houston, and I know Portland got to get in the rhythm. They got to start playing better because right now I think they're like 5-9. They're not playing good right now.
Yeah.
And last night when they went up against the Pelicans, their transition defense was terrible.
It was awful.
It was awful. Man. Like, yeah. But you got to look at this team. They got Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard can drop 50 on you on any given night. They got C.J. McCollum. He's one of the top shooting guards in the NBA. You got Hassan Whiteside. I'm going to bring him up. He's okay.
He is 7 feet guy that's 280 pounds. He's soft, man.
He is soft.
He's a big teddy bear, man.
But Hassan Whiteside can give you quality minutes. And what I'm saying is, if they're going up against a Houston, a Utah, I think Portland can beat those kind of teams in the playoffs. But Clippers and the Lakers, no. They have no chance in hell of beating the Clippers.
I'll probably put a little question mark back at Utah Jazz because they've been playing tremendous ball this year.
They just lost to the Timberwolves a couple nights ago.
Well, hey, I'm a big Cat fan. Cat did his thing. Rudy Gobert can't guard Cat. I'm going to just say that.
Well, Rudy Gobert blocked his shot once. But yeah, we got, like I said, I think the Portland Trail Blazers, they'll get it together and they'll start winning some games. But, like I said, Melo will contribute with the Portland Trail Blazers and do a good job.
Yeah. Definitely. Ooh. All right, now we about to move on to Tua Tagovailoa's injury.
Okay.
All right. So you know the surgery was successful. The surgery was successful. It was on Monday, and everybody want to know that he should no. Oh, apologize for me. Apologize. You know he dislocated his hip. He suffered a posterior wall fracture. If anyone noted that, that's the wall on your hip, and you know that people been saying that he should not go in the draft. He should return his senior season. So I just wanted to see what was your takes on that, Trey.
The only thing that he should do when he go back to Alabama is move all his stuff out of his dorm room. There's no way in hell he should go back and play another down for Alabama next year. Like, because if he goes back and plays next year, you run the risk of getting injured again. Like, I think it's, I seen something a couple days ago where this is like his third surgery in 4 years or something like that. So he's injury prone. Get to the NFL while you can and capitalize on this opportunity. I don't think you should go back to Alabama and play next year. I think that would be a huge mistake. And, you know, it's time to go and get some money. It's time to get paid. If you too, it's time to go and get paid. You won a championship at Alabama. What else do you have to prove? You have nothing else to prove at the collegiate level. It's time to get to the NFL and see where you can go in the draft and get to a solid situation. I think he'll be making a mistake if he goes back to Alabama. What you think?
No, his value is just floating up and down because people first round pick and people consider him as a later round pick. But you know, I honestly, in my opinion, I think he should return for his senior season. You know why? Because he's a talented player and he needs to get healthy in order to be a first round pick. If he went in the draft right now, he probably go in as a fourth, fifth pick, which I'll still consider as a steal. But your question is his injuries. How many injuries you've been dealing with? And let me get this straight. He just had two injuries in a month. Remember? The ankle and the hip. So taking him to the draft right now, he might not even be 100%. I won't even risk it. I'll just tell him return your senior season, get healthy, and get better at quarterback, man. That's the best thing he should do right now.
No, there's no way. Why would you go back again? That's a possibility of that happening. And then your draft start really fall. Like, I don't know, that makes no sense. He has nothing else to prove at the collegiate level.
I mean, okay, let me ask you this. How many times did Deshaun Watson in Clemson? Twice, right?
Twice, right.
And then he came back the senior season to win a national championship, right?
He did.
It's possible. It's possible for Tua. All he needs to do is just get healthy, finish school, go get the education, and, you know, just ride it out with your senior year. And maybe better luck in a better draft, you know?
It's time to get paid.
It's always time to get paid. Well, you know, college students is about to get paid now. So, hopefully, it comes to Alabama, man.
Do you think the injury, if he does, let's say he does declare for the NFL draft, do you think it will affect his draft stock?
Oh, of course. I think it is going to affect his draft stock because that injury, he dealt with, like, too many injuries. And some NFL executives, they go look at that as his fallback. Like,
yeah,
how can he, like get better after these injuries? But in reality, he's not 100%. So, my thing is, like, I think his draft stock is going to drop, but it won't be dropped significantly. But I still will consider him as a steal, but his draft stock won't be no first-round status no more, in my opinion, man.
Right. See, here's the thing. I actually believe that his draft stock will drop, but I think it'd be a blessing in disguise because Tua doesn't want to get drafted by one of those top three or four teams that's going to be picking in the NFL draft.
Oh, if he
I don't want Tua coming to the dysfunctional Bengals.
Oh, he need to come to Cincy.
No, I don't want him with your Bengals.
He's okay? Our hero.
No.
He will be our hero.
No, like, I don't want Tua coming to the Bengals because they're dysfunctional. I don't want Tua with Adam Gase and the Jets.
I definitely don't want him like that.
Like, stop. Like, come on. I want bet more better for Tua. Like, I think it's good because now, let's say he still is a first-round pick, and he dropped any more towards the middle to the late first round, he'll go to a better situation. And you know, quarterbacks that are young and they go to a team that's surrounded by talent, they win Super Bowls. Look at what happened to Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson got drafted by Seattle and won a Super Bowl. Because the thing is, you're not going to get paid on your first rookie contract. Agreed. Like, Tua's going to get his money on his third or fourth contract in the NFL, not your first. So, therefore, go to a situation that's a winning situation with a mid-level team like the Titans, like the Bears. You know, teams like even the
Chargers.
Chargers, teams like the Chargers. You know, go to a team like that. You don't want to go with the Bengals or the Jets or the Dolphins. I love South Beach, though. I love South Beach.
That's where he's more likely going.
If I'm going to lose, damn it, I'm going to lose somewhere where it's warm and I'm seeing palm trees every day.
Hey, L.A.
Okay. That's why I say the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Chargers, yeah. But if I'm going to a team like the Bengals, you don't want to come to Cincinnati because you're going to be dealing with a dysfunctional franchise and you're going to be cold in November through March.
Yeah.
All right? Like, I want to go to a warm city if I'm going to lose, man.
You just don't like the Colts, right?
I don't.
All right. So how will this Alabama team move forward, you know, from Tua and his injury?
Well, their playoff aspirations are over. It's going to take something drastic, I believe, for Alabama to be able to creep back into that college football top four playoff teams. I think it's over. I think the committee is going to basically give that spot to either it'll be one of the spots from either Oregon, I believe, or Utah when they go up against. Is it Oregon? I think it's Oregon. Yeah.
Oregon number six and Utah number seven.
Yeah, and I think they're going to get a chance to go up against each other in the championship game. And they're saying the winner of that game more than likely will take that fourth spot. But we'll see what happens. But I don't think Alabama's playoff aspirations are over. Even though they had, like, if there's such thing as a good loss, they had a great loss. A great loss. Like, you lost to LSU. You lost to
the number one team.
The number one team in college football right now.
Right.
So, I understand from that perspective, but I think the committee won't look at it that way.
You're crazy. I disagree with you, man. But let me tell you this. There's three SEC teams in the top six, right?
Right.
It's LSU, Georgia, Alabama. You know, more likely Georgia, LSU is going to be playing each other. So, it's going to be who's in, who's out. So, whoever the winner of that, the loser of that, they's getting kicked out of there. And I think Oregon doesn't have the leverage as Alabama. They had key bad losses in the season, too. Yeah. And I think, Alabama, like, if they keep playing consistent, you know, I'm going to tell you like this. Matt Jones, he's not talented as Tua Tagovailoa, but he's serviceable. And if you just can get him on the right track, you got some possibility. You can still win the national championship.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Definitely.
Quick question for you, though, before we close this topic. How much blame do you believe should be placed on Nick Saban? Because he's been getting a lot of criticism for leaving Tua Tagovailoa in the game in a blowout. You know, at this point, when he got hurt, the game was...
Good one, though. I think he should not get a lot of blame, but he should get, like, some blame because at a point, you know, Tua just came back roughly from an ankle surgery that was, like, three weeks ago. Yeah. And you know he still... You need him for the Iron Bowl. Right. Now you missed him for the Iron Bowl. So I think he should get the blame because the Iron Bowl is going to be the most... important game for us. If we lose that game, our playoff aspiration is really over. So I think he should take the blame because he know that he needed Tua Tagovailoa for that Auburn game. And now he's not going to have him. Now we're going to use Mac Jones that never really got no experience.
Yeah, I don't think he deserves any blame in this situation. He got the okay from the doctors before the game. Tua said he was ready to go. Injuries happen. If injuries happen. And in the...
So put him out there?
Yeah, I mean, injuries happen. It's a part of the game. Tua said he was ready to go. The doctors gave him okay. Everything was good to go. And in the words of the great Herm Edwards, you play to win the game. So that way you got to play your best players to win the game. I had no problem with Nick Saban in this situation. I just think it was one of those freak injuries that happens. And I think Nick Saban will be all right moving forward. But, you know, I think Tua will be all right. I think he should go to the NFL, though. Let's move on. Let's talk about our... NBA superstars to build around. So, a couple months ago, ESPN came out with a poll, and they were talking about top NBA stars to build around, and they had a list of top NBA stars to build around, and I don't got a list in front of me. I got it right here, though. But they it was a good list, and it was a nice conversation, and I sent this to you on Facebook the other day.
Yeah.
And it's a good conversation. And great. And the top five, I'll get the top five. The Greek Freak came in at number one. Luka came in at number two. Kawhi came in at number three. Four, James Harden, five, AD. So my question for you is, starting from five coming up, who was your top five NBA stars to build around?
My top five?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you like this. Number five, I'll definitely build around Anthony Davis. You know, he's a great big man, he's a skilled big man that he's developing a game of jump shot, and I think he'd do tremendous if he had the right key players.
You got him at five?
I got him at five.
Okay.
I got him at five. Number four, you know, I like Ja Morant. He's athletic. He reminds me of Westbrook, and I think his athleticism is going to be a key to, like, winning games. And, you know, number three, Klay Thompson. I know it sounds weird, but, hey, he's probably one of the second-best shooters behind Curry. Probably one of the best shooters in the league. If you're not mentioning Curry. But, you know, he's a great shooter and he's a great two-way player. He plays defense and he does a fantastic job of shooting the ball.
Right.
Okay. And then my top two, you know I got to get the claw, Kawhi Leonard, man. He's an outstanding player on defense.
I can roll with that.
He can score and he do his thing. And what he brings to the table, that he wants to win. He wants to win. He might don't say as much. But he, in his gameplay, he wants to win. And you know my number one? Y'all about to be surprised about this. Carl Anthony Towns.
What?
Carl Anthony Towns.
Wait a minute. Wait. Oh, I'm going to let you finish.
I like Towns. I'm a big fan of Towns. He's a true definition of a stretch five. If you play 2K, you know they got the stretch five. He's a definition of a stretch five. They can shoot the ball. They can inside scoring, and he plays defense. And I honestly think he's a better player than Joel Embiid, if you ask me. And this guy right here, you cannot miss it. Just like the upcoming draft, Chase Young, we supposed to take him. You want him? Don't miss that. Now this cat player right here, he has game. Yeah. Someone you want to build around.
Yeah.
And the thing is, he's a center that can move like a point guard. That's a plus, man.
Yeah. I think we need to stop talking basketball. Now, I'm going to stick with you talking football. We can talk football, but I'm about to ban you talking basketball.
No,
I'm going to move forward. I'm going to ban you talking basketball. We can bring Andre. We can bring Aster on. You are finished. You actually believe that Carl Anthony Towns is better than Anthony Davis? Because you got Anthony Davis at five. You got Carl Anthony Towns at one. So that means you think Carl Anthony Towns is better than AD?
From afar, yeah.
He's
just in a better position than Carl Anthony Towns.
If you give
LeBron James Carl Anthony Towns, they probably be destroying the league right now. Because Carl Anthony Towns, he can bring up the ball just like LeBron.
Look, listen, Anthony Davis was a superstar playing at the Smoothie King Arena. Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you?
Carl Anthony Towns.
Carl Anthony Towns ain't better than Anthony
Davis. He's a better shooter.
He's not better than Anthony Davis.
He's a better shooter.
He's a better defender. Who? Anthony Davis is a better defender than Carl Anthony Towns.
He's basically right there. He can block shots like AD.
Stop it.
He can block shots just like AD. Cat don't get the credit as he want because he's on a smaller platform than AD. Of course that, man.
No.
But AD, you know what AD do? He lacks of leadership. And that shows in the playoffs in a couple years ago when he played against the Warriors. He couldn't beat them. He had no way to beat them. He couldn't even lead them.
Who was on his team? You're going up against Golden State. You're going up against Hall of Fame caliber players.
I'm just saying, in general, when they need a leader, you supposed to step up and be that leader, man.
I'm trying to find out, has he even led the Minnesota to the playoffs yet?
Yeah.
Okay, they got to the playoffs and they got to the second round.
He didn't, though.
They haven't got to the second round. Anthony Davis got the Pelicans in the second round.
This topic was only just the players that I build around.
Right, but I took it somewhere else because you had Carl Anthony Towns ranked over Anthony Davis. You actually think that Carl Anthony Towns is better than Anthony Davis?
He's a better scorer.
Who's better? Who's better?
I like Cat.
Cat ain't better than Anthony Davis. Like, he just, stop. Man, stop.
No.
Anthony Davis is...
He just don't get the recognition like Anthony Davis, man.
Listen, if Anthony Davis and his trajectory on his career continues to go up, Anthony Davis, if he starts winning championships, this is key. He has to win multiple championships. If Anthony Davis continues to go up and win games and win championships, Anthony Davis should be mentioned in that conversation amongst greatest power fours of all time. With Tim Duncan, with Kevin Garnett, with Karl Malone. Anthony Davis is heading now.
What was that? Can you repeat that again?
I'm saying if Anthony Davis wins multiple championships, okay,
which is a big higher percentage that he doesn't.
And he plays well in those finals, I think Anthony Davis' name should be mentioned in the greatest power forwards of all time conversation.
I don't think
Cat is even nowhere close to there yet. I ain't taking that away from Cat. Cat, great. Like, no, actually, Cat's good. He's good. What? Anthony Davis is great.
What makes Anthony Davis great and Cat good?
I think Anthony Davis, like, he's a better all-around player to me. Like, he's better all-around. He's better defensively by far. Like,
no.
I think he's better at guarding opposing guards on the perimeter. That matters. Because nowadays, you need your stretch four or your bigs to be able to go out on the perimeter and guard guards like Luka. You know, you need your guards
first
like Kemba. You need your
first of all, I am not about to have Carl Anthony Towns running around with Kemba or Luka.
Anthony Davis can. Anthony Davis can go out there. He can lead. He ain't going to be
able. He's not going to run around with them. He's going to put a hand in his face, but he's not definitely not about
to. He's a better perimeter defender than Carl Anthony Towns is. Anthony Davis is better. But let's get back to my list. I'm going to get back to my list. Because we're talking about top NBA stars to build around. And I based my list around age. I picked all players under 30. Because if I'm building a team around an NBA star, I want them to be under 30 years of age. So I'm going to start with my fifth. I'm going to shock you with this one. I got Jokic at number 5.
All right, that's solid.
Yeah, I like Jokic at number 5. At number 4, I got the Greek Freak. I think the Greek Freak had an MVP caliber season last year. He won MVP, even though I thought James Harden should have won MVP. But the Greek Freak played great last year, led the Milwaukee Bucks to the number 1 seed in the Eastern Conference. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they lost to Kawhi. But the Greek Freak had an outstanding season last year. Let's move to number 3. Still can't shoot. And that's why he's not higher on my list. Let's move to number 3. I got Anthony Davis at number 3. I think Anthony Davis has a great, promising future. I believe once he learns how to win, because that's one of the things I believe that Anthony Davis lacks. He doesn't know how to win yet. Like, I think LeBron's going to help him with that. Like, the same thing that Dwayne Wade taught LeBron when he went to Miami, I think LeBron's going to teach Anthony Davis in L.A. So once Anthony Davis learns how to win and be a champion, I think it'll elevate his career, and he'll be able to win more games in future seasons to come. Number 2, I got the Claw. Same where you have him at number 2. Kawhi Leonard is great. Kawhi Leonard, obviously, is a 2-time NBA champion, you know, 2-time Finals MVP, the only player in NBA history to win a Finals MVP in both conferences. We know what Kawhi Leonard brings to the table. Kawhi Leonard is great. But my number 1 player as NBA stars to build around, I'm going to surprise you with this one, is Luka. And the reason why is Luka.
I like Luka.
Yeah, like, and Luka, because Luka is only 20 years of age.
I think I'm older than him.
And so far this year.
I think Asher older than him.
Yeah. So far this year, Luka is averaging 30 points per game, 11 rebounds per game, and 10 assists per game. So Luka is playing at an elite level. And listen, look at his last 4 games. He had 42 points, 26 points, 33 points, 34 points. He's the only player, other than LeBron, to be younger than 21 and have a 40-point triple-double. Like, Luka Doncic is the person that you want to build around. And now, in this day and age, and the way the game is being played at the NBA level, you want to be able to build your team around a young, promising guard. That's why I got Luka at number one. But the Greek Freak has the most upside, though. But, like, I believe if the Greek Freak reaches full potential and Luka reaches full potential, I think the Greek Freak can be better.
So you had Anthony Davis over the Greek Freak?
Yes. Anthony Davis is better than the Greek Freak.
Are you crazy?
Wait a minute. You actually... Oh, man. You know... You got to stop this. Are you serious? You think the Greek Freak is better than Anthony Davis?
All it takes is Giannis to shoot a ball, and he's going to be 10 times better than some of these bigs, man.
Wait a minute. Facebook, y'all hearing this? Like, what? They're
hearing this.
You actually think that the Greek Freak is better than Anthony Davis?
I would take the Greek Freak over Anthony Davis.
The Greek Freak got exposed last year in the playoffs.
Yes, he did. Because by Kawhi Leonard, not by Anthony Davis.
Yeah, but even, okay, but he still got exposed. What weakness does Anthony Davis have? Who's exposed Anthony Davis? Who? Tell me.
Draymond.
He played against the Warriors.
I'm just saying, I'm calling out players.
I'm not debating you talking basketball. I'm saying, this is it. I'm done. I'm finished. Like, you actually think that Greek Freak is better? Like, stop it, bro.
Better, more athletic than him. He actually plays defense in the league.
The Greek Freak is... Anthony Davis don't play defense?
He don't play defense.
So we gonna pretend like Anthony Davis don't play defense.
Look, I'm gonna just clear this up. I ain't saying that Anthony Davis doesn't play defense, but Greek as a better defender than him.
Listen, the Greek... Oh, my God.
Look, the way how he can move around the court is tremendous. You know, Shaq gave him the Superman for a reason, right?
Listen, until the Greek Freak develops a consistent jump shot,
Anthony Davis don't have a consistent jump shot.
Anthony Davis is a better shooter than the Greek Freak.
He do not have a consistent jump shot.
Who's a better shooter, Anthony Davis or Greek Freak?
Oh, man, we talk about mid-range or three-point.
So now you want to go mid-range.
I'm just saying, who's a better shooter? It's a difference. Who's a better player that attacks the rim?
What?
Giannis.
I'm gonna give Giannis a slight edge in that.
Slightly. It's far.
Like, okay, Facebook, go on the Wise Guys page right now. Vote. Go on the page, and we can put a poll out. Who's a better player, Anthony Davis or the Greek Freak? Greek Freak can't even shine Anthony Davis' shoes right now.
Look, the only thing
I'm gonna tell you, Anthony Davis is better.
Anthony Davis, only advantage Anthony Davis having the Greek Freak is ball handling. Ball handling.
What?
I'm surprising everybody because everybody just hyped Anthony Davis. I'm not taking no time away from Anthony Davis. I'm just saying, man. They give him too much credit than these other bigs.
I'm about to walk off this set right now. I'm about to walk off this set. You sound ridiculous,
you
bro.
I'm
about to pull your basketball card.
I'm
pulling yours. I ain't talking basketball anymore.
No, I'm just saying.
Like, what?
What?
Anthony Davis, I can't believe you're arguing this. But the bottom line is, I want to say this real quick. Only questions I have when it comes to Anthony Davis, Anthony Davis has got to win in the postseason. That's all he got to do.
What Giannis basically got to do, right?
No, Giannis got to prove that he can be a top five NBA player for multiple years. Like, Giannis just got good. The Greek Freak, when he came in the NBA, wasn't doing what Anthony Davis was when he first came in the league. Giannis just got good in the last two years.
Let's break the difference down. Anthony Davis was the number one overall pick, so expectations was high for him. Giannis... was this just a second round pick, man?
So what you're saying is
a second round,
right? So that's making my point. The Greek Freak didn't have expectations. Anthony Davis came in with the bulls out on his back when he first came in the league.
Look,
what? And he won a championship at Kentucky. He did.
He won one in Greece.
He won one. Stop it.
He won one in Greece. He won a national championship with Greece, man. I can pull it up.
You need to quit, man.
I ain't quitting, man.
But that's his opinion. Go on the Wise Guys page right now. Give us your vote. Who's the better player, Anthony Davis or the Greek Freak? Clarence, for some reason, believes that the Greek Freak is better than Anthony Davis. I think that's ridiculous. But we can have that conversation on another week on the show. But let's move on to our top NFL teams and the NFL power rankings.
Ooh.
So the NFL came out with their weekly power rankings this week. Let's start off with 10. They got the Houston Texans at number 10. Number 9, the Dallas Cowboys. Number 8, the Kansas City Chiefs. Number 7, Minnesota Vikings. Number 6, Saints. 5, my Packers. The 4, the Seattle Seahawks. 3, Niners. 2, Ravens. and number one, the Patriots.
Chiefs should not be higher than the Cowboys.
Hold on, let me finish. Let me get to the question. Pump the brakes.
Yep.
Who is your top five NFL teams right now, Clarence? 5-1. Who you got?
From 5-1? Okay, my top five team, you know, I'm starting out with the Seattle Seahawks because, you know, they get the edge because they had a bad week and they ain't performed, so I'm going to just put them as number five. But my number four team is the New Orleans Saints. I love Michael Thomas, man. You know, he's on pace for actually for a target 163 catches and 18 receiving yards. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And number three, they're always New England Patriots. They always in the mix. Defense win games. Brady struggling. Okay. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to just say this.
Number two, your Ravens?
Baltimore Ravens is still number two because they still got to improve on the defense, and they do need that legit number one receiver. And number one is still the San Francisco 49ers. Nick Bosa is still playing. He's still playing, man. He's balling. And Jimmy G, he's playing solid, but he's keeping up with them. And they have a good record, man.
You actually believe that the 49ers are better than the Ravens?
They have a better defense.
You need to stop.
So that gives them an advantage.
They don't got a better – I can make an argument that the Ravens got a better defense. They got a – I like the Ravens' secondary. I really do.
That's the only thing.
Like, they got a great secondary, and they're rushing the passer better now. But right now, Lamar Jackson is significantly better than Jimmy G.
I
don't trust Jimmy G in a playoff.
But you want to know something else? The San Francisco is ranked number two, right behind the Baltimore Ravens in rushing.
Let me give you my list. Let me know what y'all think. I got number five, I got the Seattle Seahawks, same as you.
Okay.
Number four, I got the Saints, same as you. Number three, I got that bad man, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at number three, of course. Number two, I got the Patriots. Number one, I got the Ravens. But the NFL got it wrong, too, because they got
Patriots. Well,
hold on, because I'm going to say something about the NFL power rankings, ESPN. They got the Patriots ranked over the Ravens. That's wrong. The Ravens are better than the Patriots right now. They're a better team. They play better. They look like right now they're going to be representing the AFC in the Super Bowl. I think the Ravens are playing at a much higher level than the Patriots are right now. The Patriots offense is struggling. Again, Tom Brady looks like he's probably maybe the 16th or 17th best quarterback in the NFL. And Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league, along with Russell Wilson right now. And that offense is playing at elite level. So I think Baltimore is significantly better than the Patriots. But I don't know why you or the NFL power rankings have the 49ers ranked ahead of the Packers or Saints. I don't even got the 49ers in my top five.
You're crazy, man.
I don't think the 49ers are a top five team in the NFL right now. Because Seattle beat them already.
Yep.
Seattle beat them already. My Packers going to play the 49ers on Sunday. And I think the Saints are better than the 49ers. I believe that. I really believe
Saints?
That. Yes.
See, yeah, tell me that, man. Explain to me why, man.
I believe the Saints are playing, when they play their best and the 49ers playing their best, I think the Saints are a better team. Like, I think the 49ers have this certain brand of football that they have to play in order to win games.
Well, they have a reliable run game.
Yeah, but I believe if you stop the run and make Jimmy G beat you, I don't think Jimmy G can beat teams consistently. He may get off a couple weeks. Like, he beat the Arizona Cardinals this past week, and he beat them, like, 2 weeks ago. That's the Arizona Cardinals.
People were just considering Teddy Bridgewater should come back in for Drew Brees because the Atlanta lost.
That's ridiculous. But, so you think the 49ers better than the Saints?
You know, I'm gonna just say it, like, by a stretch. Because they got a better defense. Now, listen. You know, the Saints just lost Marcus Lattimore for a few games, so that's going to hurt the secondary.
It will.
It's going to hurt them real bad, and their front seven all is dominant, but the 49ers' front seven is dominant, more dominant than them, though. I love their defensive coordinator, how he's making these schemes up for this defense to blitz and to zone blitz and to coverage, man spot, whatever. This 49ers defense is playing great. They're not talented like with Patrick Willis in that time, 2013, but this defense is playing phenomenal.
They're playing great football. They're a top, I'll say they're like sixth on my list, but this is the top five power rankings list for the wise guys. But I noticed you didn't have my Packers in your top five, and what's going on? What's up with that?
Let me tell you about this. I will put them in the top five if they go into San Francisco.
And win.
And win.
So you think Seattle better than the Packers?
See,
and I want to ask you, you got the 49ers ranked ahead of Seattle. How the hell can the 49ers be ranked ahead of Seattle because when they lost to Seattle?
Because, listen, they have a better record. And they have a better winning percentage.
One game. And that's because Seattle had a bye week.
Look, I'm going to just say this. San Francisco next three games is going to be probably the toughest ever. You know, they're home. They come home to your Packers. They own the road at Baltimore, yeah, and then they back on the road in New Orleans.
You know what? Yeah, you're right. So we're going to get our answers about the San Francisco 49ers in the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we will definitely check in with that. But yeah, I think they got like the toughest schedule out of this five right here. Because, you know, New England, they play in Dallas at home. They go to Houston. And they can beat the Chiefs. But their most difficult game is against Dallas because they're playing against Zeke now. So that'd be interesting to watch.
Don't say Zeke. You said when they played against Dallas, you brought up Zeke. Like, yeah, Zeke was the,
I'm just saying,
was the star. Your star is back.
I'm just, I ain't get to him yet, though. Hey, don't let me start, man.
Right. Okay, so I got Seattle number 5, New Orleans at number 4, Green Bay at number 3, New England at number 2, and Baltimore number 1. Who your top, who your top 5 again? One more time.
My top 5, man, was the Seattle Seahawks, New Orleans Saints, New England Patriots, Baltimore Ravens, and the San Francisco 49ers.
Now, let me ask you this real quick before we get out of here. All next topic. You saying that to the public, but on your paper you got the 49ers at number 2 and the Ravens at number 1. What changed? What changed?
Hey, you know.
What changed, Clarence?
I'm going to tell you. They have a better defense. Their defense had the edge. The pass rush is there. D Ford, Eric Armstrong, and what's the other guy?
Oh, man.
Anyway, who? They have a better front seven. Right. And not saying that the Baltimore Ravens front seven is not that talented, but San Francisco has the edge, man.
I think Baltimore.
Baltimore just got a good secondary, man.
I think out of all these teams, I think Baltimore has the best quality of wins. Like, Baltimore's beating Seattle. Yeah. They beat New England. They beat Houston. I think the Baltimore Ravens have the best quality wins out of all the teams on this list. And that's why I got Baltimore at number 1. I think Baltimore's playing the best football in the NFL right now. And I got them up there.
I think, and also, though, Baltimore had a bad loss, too. A bad loss to Cleveland.
They did. That was a bad loss.
So that plays a part in it, too. Yeah, it plays a part in it because Nick Chubb had a wild day, and he went bizarre. So that holds a lot of weight in there, too.
But San Francisco could have lost to Arizona twice.
But they didn't.
Twice. They did, but I'm just saying, Arizona could have beat them twice with Kyler Murray, and that team is rebuilding.
How many teams Arizona could have beat, but they didn't?
I'm just letting you know. They said it.
See?
But we can move on. Let's move on to that portion of the show. It's Bearcat Weekly.
Woo-woo!
As the UC Bearcats beat South Florida 20-17. Derek Ritter went 9 of 18, 78 yards. Michael Warren had 26 carries, 134 rushing yards, and 1 touchdown. So, this game was actually closer than anticipated, Clarence. South Florida's not very good.
They're not.
So, how concerned should Bearcat fans be about their Bearcats?
I'm afraid for the football program. I'm afraid for these next 2 games. You got Temple coming in, then you on the road against Memphis. Basically, that's going to determine like who will win the American League, because they're going to have to meet each other again. Mm-hmm. So, I'm a little concerned for them because these are some 2 top teams that actually was ranked before, and they know what it takes to stay ranked.
Yeah.
And, you know, this Temple's game, I'm not going to be more impressed like for the Memphis game because it's a road game. Yeah. But if they take care of business with Temple, they secure their spot for the American League. But Memphis, I'm a little scared about that, honestly, man, because Memphis is a good football team. They beat quality players. They beat quality team. So that's kind of dangerous on the UC end. They got to come with their A game, man.
Yeah. I think Bearcat fans should have some concern with their quarterback because Derek Ritter going 9 of 18 for 78 yards, that won't get it done against a quality team.
It's not.
That's terrible. He has to do much better. And I understand that Michael Warren is the engine of this offense, but you need Ritter to at least be a game manager and be serviceable. Like, 78 yards is terrible. Like, I could go out there and throw for at least 100 yards.
At 3 attempts.
And like, what the hell going on here, Ritter? Like, come on, he has to improve and do better. He did have 2 big-time third-down conversions on the last drive when the Bearcats ended up winning the game with a field goal. He had 2 big-time third-down completions. So I'll give you credit on that aspect. The Bearcats showed great resilience in this game.
Yeah.
They were trailing in this game. I believe they were down 10-0 in this game. So they struggled, and their offense couldn't get it going. And remember last week against, I believe it was UConn,
right,
the Bearcats scored on their first 8 possessions, they scored on 7 of those possessions. So the offense was rolling. And this week they couldn't get it going, and they struggled. But I think they'll be just fine moving forward. For some reason, I feel like this Bearcats team, they played down to the competition.
Yeah.
They haven't been shut out in the first half since the Ohio State game, and they got shut out in the first half of this game. It should be some concerns, but I think Lou Fickell will get this team ready for their matchup next week. But they played down to the competition a lot. You remember a couple weeks ago, they barely beat East Carolina.
That was ridiculous right there, man.
Yeah, they barely beat East Carolina.
East Carolina was not even a good team, but they fought hard. They fought hard, and they prevailed. You know. Yeah, definitely. But oh, don't forget about the basketball, man. They last game they won against Alabama A&M. They beat them 85-53. No, Chris Vaughn was their main player, 18 points and 10 rebounds. So I think they're doing a good job with the basketball. And their next game is a Paradise Jam invitation. They playing against another irrelevant team, Illinois State. So I think they should get the win, man.
Yeah, I think they'll do a good job. I like the way they're playing so far. It's early in the season.
Yeah.
I like basketball left to be played, but I think they'll be an all right team this year.
Oh, hold on. You know what time it is? You have the top performer.
Yeah, go ahead with your
Y'all, you know this time it is. It's the Wise Guys top performer, and we always go give y'all our top performer each day of the NFL. So I'm going to start off with Mines. You know who Mines was?
Who was yours?
Yeah, you should know who he was. Oh, that's Dak Prescott, baby. He had a tremendous game, man. 29-46, 444 yards and 3 touchdowns against this Lions team. But, hey, he balled out. He got everyone involved, and he done a phenomenal job. I think if he go into New England with the same energy, this Cowboys team going to be dangerous, man.
Yeah, they definitely will be. My top performer is Lamar Jackson. He went 17-24, threw for 222 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. And now he has elevated himself in that conversation with Russell Wilson. Hey, I know we had on the show last week, I said Russell Wilson was the MVP. It's neck and neck. Like, it's neck and neck for me. Hey, Lamar balling right now.
Hey, Dak sneaking in the play in the MVP level too, man.
No, he's not. He's not. You stop.
If he beats New England, that's going to raise it up.
Stop.
Yes, he is.
You need to stop. Let's move on. Let's talk about our NFL Week 12 Wise Picks. Tomorrow night, we got a big-time matchup. We got the Colts versus the Texans. So give me a prediction, Clarence. Let's also talk about this game. What do you think the key is going to be in this game?
You know, Deshaun Watson, he got to rely on himself. You know, it was horrible in Baltimore. In B-more. This game right here determine who's going to basically win the AFC South. You know, this is their second time meeting, and probably next time they meet probably as a wild card. So it's big expectation from both teams.
I think the Colts won the first matchup.
Yeah, they did.
They did.
Drop pass. It was wow. But this Texas team, they really go out. The O-line going to have to step up and play against this Colts team. Because they front seven is actually nice. With Justin Houston, D'Amico Toure, and, you know, Jamar Shear, they can get to the quarterback. And if you don't stop them three right there, Deshaun Watson might be running for his life again, man.
Yeah, you're right. This is a big-time matchup because both of the teams are sitting at 6-4. So whoever wins this game, they're going to have the upper hand to win the AFC South. Agreed. And if the Colts win this game, they'll really be in the driver's seat. Yeah. They already beat Houston once. So, you know,
sweep them again. Yeah, why not?
This is a big-time game. I want to say the key for the Colts, they have to hand the ball off to Marlon Mack. Right. Marlon Mack is the engine for the Indianapolis Colts offense. Like, he is the driver in the car. When you get in the car, it's Jacoby Brissett and the passenger, and it's Marlon Mack driving the car. Like, he drives the car for this Colts offense. In order for the Colts to be able to have any chance, they got to hand the ball off to Marlon Mack at least 25 times. Yeah. At least. And they got a great offensive line.
Man, I love that line.
Oh, man, they got one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Like, they have to hand the ball off to Marlon Mack multiple times. And they got to put some pressure on the Houston Texans offense. Like, if they apply some pressure to Deshaun Watson, I think they got a chance to win this game. Give me a prediction. Who you got?
Man, Texas at home, I think they should come take care of the business. I got Houston winning that game 21-14. That's not gonna be a blowout, but it's gonna be a close one and a pretty short affair. If it's gonna be a low scoring affair, if the three defensive linemen I just named, Justin Houston, D'Amico Toure, and Jabal Sheard, if they get to Deshaun Watson, they gonna be problems. But I got Houston winning this one in a close one. I think Deshaun Watson is gonna pull it off, man.
I think Deshaun Watson will pull it off too. Yeah. I believe the Houston Texans, they'll bounce back from that rough game they had, been able to stop the run against the Ravens. But I think they'll bounce back in this game. I think Marlon Mack will struggle to get 100 yards. Yeah. If he gets 100 yards, I think the Colts win.
Yeah.
If he doesn't get 100 yards, I think the Texans win. I think the Texans' rush defense will show up on Thursday Night Football, and I believe the Texans will win this game. I'll say 24-20.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one.
Yeah, I think, because I wouldn't be surprised if the Colts win this game. I'm going to pick the Texans because they're at home.
It's basically this who wins it or whatever. But make sure y'all watch that game, 8:20 Thursday on Fox. All right, now we about to move on. It's for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Atlanta Falcons. Both teams 3-7.
Yeah.
They're not making the playoffs no more.
Yeah.
So they just going to be fighting for bragging rights. Who you got winning that game, man?
I think the Falcons actually win this game. They're playing great football right now. It seems like they're playing for Dan Quinn's job. That's what it seems like is going on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about this game very much because it's two irrelevant teams.
Yeah.
I'll say the Falcons win this game. 21-17.
I'm actually taking the Buccaneers right there, man, because Jameis Winston's second in passing yard, and he's proven that he can pass in this league, but the interception's got to come down. But I think he will get it done. He got two good receivers, and Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. If they execute it, I think they can steal this one in Atlanta.
What's your score?
I got them winning 31-24.
Good, high scoring, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be high scoring. They're always high scoring in Hot Atlanta, baby.
Denver suffered a gruesome loss last week to the Minnesota Vikings. They traveled to Buffalo to take on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Who you got winning this game and why? Broncos or Bills?
I'm taking the Bills right here because Josh Allen, he's a dual threat quarterback, and he making plays with his feet. Instead of, like, you know, he might not throw the ball a lot, but he can make plays with his feet. And I think they're going to take care of Denver Broncos. I got them winning 28-14.
28-14.
I don't think Kyle Allen, as Brandon Allen, is going to come in here and just, hey, I'm about to throw four touchdowns. Nah, you a bench player, man.
I think this game going to be closer than you think. I got the Bills winning, too. But I think the Bills going to win on a late field goal. See, the Broncos play hard.
They do.
They do. They play hard. They in every game. They get in every game.
I give them to that.
They really play hard. They just can't make those key plays down the stretch. I think it's going to be another heartbreaker for the Broncos. They'll lose this game 24-21. I got the Bills. You got the Bills 28-14.
All right. You got the New York Giants going up north to your right, the Chicago Bears, man. You know, Giants, they've been losing, as usual, 2-8 in Chicago. The hell's going up there with Mitchell, man? We got winning that game, man.
I'll take the Bears, unfortunately.
It seemed like you didn't want
to
take the Bears.
I didn't want to pick the Bears. I wanted to pick the Giants, but I couldn't think of a reason to pick a Giant. I'll pick the Bears because of that great defense that they have. And they're going to be playing in Chicago. They're going to have a home crowd behind them. I got the Bears winning. I'll say this game will be low scoring.
I still have question marks around him. And feed David Montgomery the ball. Give him the ball more. Let him actually have the experience. But I got Chicago winning this.
What's your score?
Low scoring game, too. 16-13.
16-13. But you got it close.
Yeah?
Yep. I think it'll be a good one, too.
Yeah.
We got the Miami Dolphins traveling to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns. Give me a score and why.
Man, let me tell you this. You might look at me crazy, but I'm actually taking the Miami Dolphins at this one, man. Okay. They actually been playing football. Like
in over the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
They had.
And Ryan Fitzpatrick, he been playing like, hey, I want a second contract, which he's not going to get a second contract. But the Browns still dealing with how they go give OBJ the ball. Kareem Hunt is coming back. And I think this Dolphins team can actually steal it, can steal this one because they're not focused. The Browns aren't. They aren't. They're not focused. But I got the Dolphins winning this game 21-17.
21-17. Okay. Yeah. I got the Browns winning this game 23-17. It's going to be closer than most people anticipate. The Browns, they have no discipline on this football team. But I'm going to pick them and win this game because I think the Dolphins are that much inept. You know, the Dolphins have been playing well for 3 weeks. I think it's asking too much of them to play well for a month. You know, that's asking a little bit too much of the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are going to struggle in the cold weather. And like I said, you know, Clarence, when you live in South Beach or you live in any of these warm cities and you go to a cold city and play, you struggle. Yeah. I think the Dolphins are going to struggle in Cleveland on Sunday afternoon. Yeah. I think it'll be close, 23-17.
Let's just make sure nobody don't hit Ryan Fitzpatrick with a helmet, man. All right, so we got the Carolina Packers. They sitting at 5-5. You know, this is a must win, but they're going to New Orleans Saints. You know, a Saints team that's been hot right now. Drew Brees back, and you can't guard Mike. We got winning that, man.
Saints. I think the Saints will win this game. The Saints, when they lost against the Falcons 2 weeks ago, throw that tape out. That was a bad, rough week. I hope I'm wrong about this, though, because, you know, my Packers are fighting for that top two seed in the NFC to have a home playoff game and have a first-round bye. But I think the Saints will prevail in this game. I'll say Saints 28, Panthers 17.
Okay, yeah. I definitely got the Saints winning that game, and I think they winning big. Michael Thomas have another big game. Hey, this might be the game. He might get 100 catches. So, I got them winning big, 45-21. Michael Thomas is probably going to have like 3 touchdowns tonight.
Real quick, too, I got to say this, too. I owe Michael Thomas an apology. Because
yes!
Yes! I don't know if you remember this.
Yes!
He's
finally apologizing.
Nah, because listen.
He's finally apologizing.
He's not. I still don't think Michael Thomas is the best receiver in
the game. Oh, my God. Stop it.
Wait. Because when he got his contract, I said, damn, how the hell he getting paid all this money? He ain't the best receiver in the NFL, but he's legit. He's the real deal. Like, Michael Thomas is the real deal. I still don't think he's the best receiver in the field.
He's 6 catches shy for 100 catches on the season.
He's the best receiver in the NFL?
Right now, as of right now, he has.
You better than Odell?
Yeah. Odell? Not overall, but this season?
You better than Julio?
Julio, he's not playing Julio. He's not Julio Jones right now,
that's,
man.
That's because the offense, the Falcons are mess.
It is, though, but...
You better than DeAndre Hopkins?
See, Hopkins...
No, Hopkins not. Does.
Oh, I'm saying just for this season. But overall, DeAndre Hopkins has got the better hands. Yeah. He got the way better hands. And he take, you know, when he take hits, he bounce right back off of him. I be thinking he about to get killed out there, but he doesn't, man.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Raiders at Jets, another meaningless game.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pick the Raiders in this game. I think the Raiders will win this game. They got a shot at the playoffs. They actually playing good football. It's meaningless because the Jets are so irrelevant. But the Raiders are 6-4 right now.
Yeah.
The Raiders are a good team, Clarence. Yeah. I'm sitting like, I can't believe it.
I honestly owe the Oakland Raiders apology, too.
Oh, I guess we just apologized.
And Stepdad, he's a big fan of the Raiders. And I thought they was going to be terrible, honestly. But Josh Jacobs is playing phenomenal. And I think he should have a case for, like, Rookie of the Year because he's the leading rusher for all rookies and touchdowns. But I'm going to have to disagree with you here, man. I'm definitely taking the Jets because they
did. Huh?
The Jets? Listen.
You did all that to pick the Jets?
I'm just saying.
And Adam Gase?
Listen, what? Adam Gase coaching is probably a little question, but.
Little? Probably. What you mean?
Yeah, I'm just saying. But when he play, when he at home, he plays well. The defense, I love Jamal Adams. He's electrifying. That I can't pass up. I got the Jets winning this. And it's going to be a short game because the Raiders defense is really not that good. 17-10, I got the Jets winning, man. Raiders defense is not that good. The only their defense looked it good because they were playing the Bengals. My Bengals, man.
I ain't watched that game. I got the Raiders 26-14.
Have you ever watched Bengals game?
Never. I was at Frisch's with Trey Bear. I wasn't wasting my time watching that game. But I was going to say, real quick, I want to give John Gruden a lot of credit because John Gruden, he shocked me because he had some questionable decisions when he took over. With the Raiders, you know, traded away Khalil Mack. And I don't give a damn what happened moving forward. That was a mistake, still. He had the nerve to trade away Khalil Mack. Then he had the nerve to go to the press conference and say, well, we need some help. We don't have any pass rushers. Damn it, because you traded the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Trading Khalil Mack is like trading in your bicycle. I mean, your Mercedes-Benz for a bicycle.
Yeah. I had questions about this Raiders team. Like, all the things that was going on with AB in the offseason. I thought this and Avantez Burfict getting suspended for the year. I had a lot of questions about this Raiders team. And I think this Raiders team has really overachieved. Yeah. And they got a chance at a wild card spot to take the Clarence in the AFC.
They might be a leading division. One, the way how they grow.
The Chiefs, you never know.
Yeah, Chiefs ain't playing the Chiefs ball, man.
Right, let's move on.
All right, we got Seattle. Ooh, Russell Wilson coming back from a bye week, man. So you know he fresh. But he going into Philly, man. It's supposed to be cold this weekend, man. But you know the Philly, they struggling. But who you got winning that game?
I got the Eagles. It's my upset special of the week. Yep, I got the Eagles. If the Eagles are going to have any chance of winning the NFC East, the Eagles got to steal a game from the Cowboys. This is the week to do it. Because I know the Cowboys are going to lose to the Patriots. I'm going to let it be known now. Cowboys gonna lose to the Patriots this week. So the Eagles gonna beat the Seattle Seahawks and they'll be tied atop the NFC East after week 12.
Nah, I definitely have to disagree with you here. I'm definitely taking the Seahawks in this one, man. You know, Carson Wentz never won a game against Russell Wilson. And it's gonna continue.
Never. Yeah.
It's gonna continue that, man. And I think Russell Wilson playing at elite level. He's playing at elite level. He's gonna carry on to Philly and take care of business. I'm gonna tell you, 28-21. It's always gonna be a close game because Russell always start off slow.
He do, but he make plays when it's time.
God.
He do.
He got like 3 fumbles and still win the game.
Yep, for sure. Let's move on to another meaningless game. The Jacksonville Jaguars and the Titans. Clarence, who you got? Like, I almost put some mind shots.
Look, this. Nick Foles, he played solid last week. But it won't be too much. I definitely got the Titans winning that game, 35-28, because Derrick Henry can run the ball. They committed to the run. And Ryan Tannehill is playing good service football.
I got the Jags winning this game. You know why? Right. Because the Titans lose games you're supposed to win, and they win games you're supposed to lose. Somehow, you're going to look up on Sunday afternoon, and we're going to be like, how the hell did Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Titans? Like, we're going to be like, how did this happen? Like, what's going on? It happens all the time. Titans inconsistent. I got the Jags winning this game. I'll say Jags 21, Titans 17.
Oh, you taking a big gamble on that one, though.
Yeah.
But we going to see what's going on Sunday. All right. Now we got the Dallas Cowboys. You know, actually, this is my first time ever seeing them play the New England Patriots. So I'm excited for it. Yeah. And they're going in Foxborough, which I think is going to be it's always tough in Foxborough. But this is my upset of the week. I'm definitely taking the Cowboys over the New England Patriots.
What?
Yes.
You got the Cowboys? What's your score?
I got them winning 31-24.
Whoa.
And Zeke have one touchdown with like 80 rushing yards. But let me tell you this. That's why I looked on the next gen stat. When Zeke actually run outside, that's what most likely run outside the hole. That's what most likely his yards come from. Like when he run in the zone. And I think him and Prescott, they go dominate. Prescott stay consistent. Don't get nervous about this Patriots defense. He gonna be just fine, man. Like I got the Cowboys winning 31-24.
I got the Patriots winning 28-17. But let's talk about this game.
All right.
What, since you think the Cowboys are gonna win, what are your keys to a Cowboys victory? What has to happen?
Run Zeke need to run the ball. Defense need to make good stops. And Dak Prescott, he can't be nervous. Yeah, you in Foxborough. It's a tough state. That's a tough field to play on, but you gotta anticipate it. You just gotta play. You gotta keep playing. And the most concerning thing I'm gonna be about is Jason Garrett's coaching. Because that's gonna be my scare, but I think the Dallas can really pull this off, man.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Like, coaching. Yeah. Obvious edge to the Panthers. Back, like, that's the biggest edge in everything so far this week. That's the huge, biggest gap of all these head coaches all week facing each other. Right. It's Bill Belichick and Jason Garrett. Nothing to talk about there. Let's talk about these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Dak Prescott or Tom Brady, who has the edge?
You know, they always give Brady the edge because he's always at home. But to me, for real, like, he really does have the edge because he got that home field advantage and He plays great at home. I can't deny that. He plays great at home. He take care of his business. And sometimes defense wins games. But when he's on fire, Brady is on fire. But he definitely got the edge because he's at home. He's at home, and he never really lose at home.
See, I can't believe I'm about to say this. I think Dak Prescott got the quarterback edge this week.
It's going to be scary.
Because Brady has not been playing well this season. I said that earlier in the show. I'm going to say it again. He's like the 17th or 18th best quarterback. Like, he's at the bottom half of quarterbacks in the NFL. I think Dak Prescott gonna outplay Tom Brady, but I think the Patriots will outplay the Cowboys. So I think Prescott will throw for maybe over 300 yards, perhaps. I think Brady will throw for like 200, right at 200. And like Prescott's stats will look better than Brady's stats, but I think Brady will win the game in the end. And the Cowboys are gonna fold like they always do. I think the Cowboys are actually gonna lead and be leading this game throughout the entire game. And I think the Patriots going to pull away.
I think the only takeaway from this is Jason Garrett coaching.
Yeah.
That is going to be a key factor to this.
Yeah. I just believe in order for the Cowboys to have any chance, they got to be able to make plays in the passing game. I think they will. I think Dak Prescott got to make a few plays in the passing game. But I think that Patriots defense is going to be too much clearance. You know, This Patriots defense is a legitimate group. Like, this is a legendary defense that the Patriots playing with right now.
Yeah.
I think they hold the Cowboys at 17 points. I got Patriots 28-17. I think the Patriots offense do just enough, but I think the Cowboys also will turn the ball over at one point in this game on offense, and I think the Patriots will get a defensive touchdown in this game.
Yeah.
So with this 28, the Patriots defense is going to contribute 7 points themselves. So I think Tom Brady and them can manage 21.
It's going to be a hell of a game, and also the windshield in Foxborough is going to be a main thing. But, you know, I want to go to this game right here.
Yeah.
The Baltimore Ravens, they going up to L.A. Rams. And, you know, I think it's going to be Lamar Jackson versus Aaron Donald. How quick you think Aaron? I just want, before we give our prediction, like, what's your keys to this Monday night game?
I don't think the keys is going to be, can Jared Goff make key late throws? Because Jared Goff has a history of turning the ball over. Like, he's very consistent. He's inconsistent. And I think that secondary for the Ravens, Marlon Humphreys, Jimmy Smith, Marcus Peters, they are going to be making plays in that secondary for the Ravens. And I'm not so sure Jared Goff can make consistent throws down the field for the Rams. I did like the Rams' game plan against the Bears because the Rams gave Todd Gurley the ball much more. That was his best game of the year against the Bears. In week 11, on that Sunday night matchup, Todd Gurley had, I think, 97 rushing yards.
Yeah,
so that was, we'll give him 100. Like, that was probably his best performance of the year. If the Rams can stay consistent in the run game and give Todd Gurley the football, I think they'll have a chance to beat the Ravens and Lamar Jackson. It'll be an upset, but they got to get the ball to Todd Gurley. If they get into a shootout, they're going
to
lose.
I agree with you. I think the keys to games for the LA Rams is disturbing Lamar Jackson. Can you be able to make that disturbance for him and make him do stuff that he's not used to doing, and that it all. And then you got Jalen Ramsey. You require him.
you have a shutdown corner that's basically watching any receiver that Lamar throws it to. He might throw it to his tight end. But the key thing for the Ravens is take advantage of the disadvantage, what they have now. The secondary, in my opinion, for the Rams is really not that good. I mean, Ramsey got there, but they traded, like, key players, but they did it for salary cap. But that's going to be, like, the main focus. Can Lamar Jackson beat this Ravens team with his arm instead of his legs?
I agree with that. What's your score in this game?
You know, I got Baltimore winning that game 31-28. I don't think it's going to be short because the Rams do play good at home. I give them that.
It's going to be a good game.
And if Todd Gurley break out, it might get crazy. But I still got Baltimore winning this game. Lamar Jackson, this run game is phenomenal, man.
Yeah, I got the actually Rams win this game. It's probably my upset of the week.
Again?
If the Rams want to have any chance of making the playoffs, you got to win this game.
I told you, man. Other episode, man. They not making it, man.
You did. I think the Rams. Listen, the Rams. They're not winning the NFC West. It's over.
Oh, you take that out.
Yeah, it's done deal.
Take that out.
Seattle or the 49ers will win the NFC West. That's a done deal. The Rams have a shot at an NFC wild card. If they continue to win games, they'll position themselves to win one of those NFC wild card spots. I think they got to win this game against the Ravens. I got the Rams winning 27-14.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, 27-24. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm about to say.
No, my bad. Ooh. No, I got the Rams 27-24.
Oh, yeah, Lamar is having
Lamar gonna ball. 14? Lamar gonna ball. I just think the Rams gonna make a couple necessary plays late, and I think they'll be able to prevail.
So how many sacks Aaron Donald might have in this game?
I'll say he'll have two.
He might have zero. Okay. He's not catching Lamar. Hey, now listen to this game.
Yeah.
It still is weak, and us Bengals fans is pumped. We might be suck. We might be losers this season, but when it's Pittsburgh week, it get real ugly and physical, man. Who you got winning that game, man?
Nobody cares.
No, you do care.
Nobody cares about not the game. I'm saying nobody cares about the Pittsburgh week. This ain't the year for that.
This the toughest division in the league.
Humble yourself. This ain't the year, bro.
This ain't the year.
Let it go.
No.
You gotta let it go. You gotta let this go.
We gotta get one win. But I'm asking you, Trey, who's gonna win this game?
The Steelers are winning this game. They'll win this game 20-10.
20-10?
Yeah, I won't watch the game. When the Bengals playing, I find them things to do around the house, clean the house up. I find a whole bunch of things I haven't been able to get done during the week when the Bengals game is on. Because for us, unfortunately, being here in the Cincinnati market, on Channel 12, they show all these irrelevant Bengals games. Like last week, the Eagles and Patriots was playing on CBS, and I had to go turn my Fire Stick on because on Channel 12 they had the damn Bengals and Raiders game on. I'm like, man, turn this game off, man. I had to go hook up my Fire Stick though, because on regular the Channel 12 here in the market, they show the Bengals games. Like, stop showing these games. Like, seriously, this ain't the year. Like, they need to stop doing it. Like, and you need to give it up, bro. Yeah. Like, I was always told, when it's time to let things go, you need to let this go. Let it go, bro. It'll help your strength. It'll help your energy. Like, let it go. You won't be so depressed when we had these conversations.
Well, we did let one of our problems go. That was Marvin Lewis. But anyway, you know, I'm definitely taking my Bengals to win this. Look, James Conner or Juju Smith might not play. They might not play. And that's key. And that's big for the Steelers. That's their offense right there.
So are you picking with your heart or are you picking with your head?
I'm picking.
Because if you're picking with your, you got to pick with your heart, right? That's your heart.
Look, my heart is in the Bengals. But my head, if the Bengals can take advantage of their miscues on the offense, I think they can win. This is going to be a small, short game. And I got them winning this game. You're going to be thinking I'm crazy.
Oh, man.
17-14.
This is the same guy that said the Bengals going to beat Lamar a couple weeks ago. So don't forget about that.
Hey, you know, Lamar, he ain't good on bye weeks when he come off bye weeks. But he killed us, but we going to pass that up.
Yeah, y'all going to get beat again. I say Steelers 20-10. What's your score?
I got Bengals 17-14. Brian Finley throwing a career high. 250 yards. That's all he need. Joe Mixon needs me to get a rushing touchdown. We might win this game, man.
My lady friend, she's a Bengals season ticket holder. I told her to sell her tickets. Like, stop wasting time.
She's doing the right thing. She's doing the right thing.
No,
she went down there on Sundays.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
You can spend so much other time doing other things. Like, it's plenty of other things you can do on Sunday. Like, go to brunch.
Watch the Bengals game.
Go to brunch. Go watch another game. Those games are irrelevant.
You always want to watch your city.
And this week, it's probably going to be a whole bunch of Steelers like fans that's in the stands.
Oh, I'm down that's there. I'm trying to fight.
And you going?
Yeah. Nah, I ain't going to the game, but I might go to the pack rallies. You know, go to the tailgates.
You're too emotional, bro. Let's move on.
It's all good, man.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know this. Honestly, this is my game of the week.
It
know?
Is.
It's definitely game of the week. It's your Green Bay Packers going against the good San Francisco 49ers. Now this one came from like a realist as me. You know.
Keys to the game.
Yeah, keys to the game, man. San Francisco, just stop Aaron Rodgers. Don't even let him get in his rhythm. You have to play your heart out when you play against this man, because this man will make you pay on short passes, and now you got a legit run game and Aaron Jones. That's going to be very scary for this team. But the main thing is, can Jimmy Garoppolo pull out, can he perform in this Sunday night game?
Yeah. In this game, the key for my Packers is to shut down that 49ers running attack. If we shut down that 49ers running attack with Breida and some of those running backs that they got, if we shut that down, we can win the game. We will win the game. Because make Jimmy G beat you. That's the recipe for success if you're going up against the 49ers. Make Jimmy Garoppolo beat you. Because I don't think porn star Jimmy is going to be able to get it done. I've said it time and time again. I don't think Jimmy G is one of those quarterbacks that you can depend on and hand him the ball and say, hey, we need you to carry us today. We need you to win this game for us. Jimmy G needs to be assisted with a great defense and a great running game. If we shut down Jimmy G, we win the football game. It's that simple. If we shut down the running game. Shut down the running game, win the game. It's that simple. If we don't shut down the running game, we'll lose.
I think Jimmy G knows this game is more important than anything because, you know, he playing a real hot Packers team that's coming off a bad week.
And
they hungry for more wins. Aaron Jones is playing phenomenal. He's basically Aaron Rodgers' sidekick. If Aaron Rodgers is not playing at his level, Aaron Jones is definitely gonna back him up. But I'm gonna definitely give you my prediction, man. I'm definitely being honest with you. I'm gonna definitely take the Green Bay Packers in this game because Aaron Rodgers is the man that can get the job done. And when you play him in primetime game, he can be a bad man. But I got Green Bay winning this one, a close one, 27-24.
This game has huge playoff implications.
Huge,
because this game, whoever wins this game will be in sole possession at the top of the NFC. So whoever wins this game, they'll be the number one seed in the NFC. Both these teams, obviously, will make the playoffs.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, but you want to be able to have home field advantage come through Green Bay. You want the road to the Super Bowl to come through Wisconsin.
I will agree with you on this. If Green Bay have the home field advantage at home, that can be very, very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
It can be very dangerous because it's cold out there.
Yeah.
And some of these teams on the West Coast, they so used to the sun, and they going over there to that cold, dumb tundra over there. I don't know how you can even be at that game when it's freezing and cold, Trey.
Yeah.
You crazy, man. I always tell somebody, you crazy to go to that
game. I want to say something else, too, real quick, because I'm emotional when it comes to the 49ers.
Yeah.
Because the 49ers have broken my heart and beat my Packers twice.
I remember that.
In the Aaron Rodgers era. They beat us twice. One year it was Kaepernick. Oh. Kaepernick lit our defense up. Poor Charles Wilson.
Oh,
I love Charles Wilson. Charles Wilson, the first Battle Hall of Famer, for sure. But he got lit up in that game. He looked bad. But after that, I think it was the following year, because Aaron Rodgers ended up, I think he got hurt, and he came back, and he played in a playoff game. We got beat at Lambeau again by the 49ers. The 49ers have our number. But it ain't going to happen this week. So all you 49er fans on Facebook, Christian Bradley, Robert Anthony, Mike Drop, you know who you are. Go ahead and hit my inbox because I want all the best. I want all the smoke this week because the 49ers ain't going to beat my Packers this week, not on Sunday night. And I'm glad NFL flexed this game because, you know, at first this game was scheduled for 4:25 kickoff.
That wouldn't be fun.
Now it's going to be an 8:20 kickoff on Sunday Night Football. So I can't wait to see all these 49ers fans on Facebook next week because my Packers going to beat the 49ers. I got my Packers winning this game 31-17. Yep, 2-touchdown win for my Packers on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers going to ball out. He's going to elevate himself back into the MVP conversation. I love Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams at the running back position. Those guys are playing great football. The duo at running back, I believe those two are the best duo at the running back position. You know, Jones and Williams, they both make plays in the passing game for the Packers. Devontae Adams just getting his feet back up under him. You know, he was injured for a couple weeks with a turf toe. I think Devontae Adams is going to have a hell of a game for my Packers this week. I don't think that 49ers defense is going to have any answers for either Aaron Jones or Aaron Rodgers. And I think the Packers are going to prevail 31-17 in Santa Clara, and we'll be 9-2 by Sunday night.
Well, I hope they win, because I got Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams on my fantasy, so I need them to have a big game.
Yeah,
but we'll be watching that game for sure, man.
It's gonna be a good one. Yeah. It's gonna be a good game.
Yeah,
but this was a great show, bro.
Yeah, definitely, man. It was a great show. A lot of excitement, a lot of craziness going on.
Yeah. Like, follow Wise Guys on Twitter at @wiseguys_08. Also on Facebook, Wise Guys, and be sure to follow Wise Guys on Instagram at These Guys Know Sports. Enjoy all the games this week.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, don't forget, go on our Facebook page. I'm about to make a poll as soon as we leave and get off here. Who's better, Anthony Davis or the Greek Freak? Because this guy, for some reason, believes that the Greek Freak is better than Anthony Davis. That's ridiculous. Like, let us know what y'all think. I'm Trey Larkins.
I'm Clarence Nixon.
This Wise Guy signing off. Have a great week.
These guys definitely know the sports.